The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. This is Fred. Andy's here. Paul will be here. There was a camera out in the service tunnel, so that distracted him. But he'll
it's actually
be
a security camera, and he's just doing a stand-up right in front of it. It's weird.
Yeah. Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
This guy's right now in security command. Like, what the hell is he doing? So he'll be here in a minute. And I guess Eric, eventually.
I don't know.
He'll be sauntering in.
I'm sure.
Sashaying in. All right.
You're burping into the microphone.
We got a lot to talk about today. Patriots taking on Cleveland. Bill Belichick effusive in his respect for the Cleveland organization.
Are you going to make it over there? What is not settling very well?
Well, usually we don't have our food until like 1 o'clock, but I came here today and there was a Papagino's pizza here, so I had a few slices.
But why is it so bubbly?
I figured I'd bring it to him while it was hot.
Yeah,
is that the problem? It's too hot. It's not staying.
No, I mean, you eat fast, you get, you know, you burp. You know, we're doing this all for the fans. We're
that's true.
You know, I ran into the kid with the pizza cart.
What's
coming
his
down
name?
The tunnel. I don't know his name.
Damn it!
We're wolfing just like, down hey, you food. Give me a pizza, and he did.
Yeah,
that's not very nice.
Good. Mike Tomlin just was awarded a $100,000 fine for his sideline antics.
So I like it.
You like the fine?
Yeah, I think that's a good number.
Yeah.
I think he deserved it. Suspension, I thought, was probably too much, and I still think I just read some more. The reason they're waiting on the draft pick, there's still the potential for a draft pick, is they're waiting to see how, I guess, things shake out. If they feel like it cost Baltimore, I don't know. I don't really understand. But
yeah, I don't like that. If either you're going to do it or you don't.
Right.
I don't think it should be dependent on anything else. But I you know what? You know why I think that he should be fine? It's the reaction he had on the sideline right after the play.
Yeah.
You know, smiling and laughing and, you know, come on.
It was part of it. He had that stupid grin on it.
Yeah.
But I think he did it intentionally, too. So that's
well,
why I also
I don't know if he did. Maybe he did. But
he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's the Steelers. We don't care about them. They're insignificant.
But Bill apparently cares about the Jets.
Compared to what the Patriots are doing. I love that today. If no one has watched Bill Belichick's press conference this morning, do it. Should I spoil it for people?
No, let them go watch it.
Yeah.
The video is available on Patriots.com. Late in the press conference.
He has something to say about the Jets, which I love.
Yep. It's in probably the last minute or so of the press conference, so I will let you fast forward through it.
Right.
But there's also a little zinger in there at NFL Network.
Yeah.
That's maybe halfway through talking about Rob Gronkowski and the whole process of him coming back and people asking every day about him coming back.
Right. And then, you know,
he looked
at Breer when he did it.
Yeah.
Right?
And Bill, Bill's in a good mood this week. I'm taking credit for that. I got him off to a good foot on EEI the other day, so he feels comfortable in his media.
So you set him up for the whole week?
Yep. I made him feel good. Yep. Yeah, his interactions with the media, it's all me.
Well, he should feel good because he's going to win this game.
He should.
You know.
Probably 34-31.
Yep. not that it's a preseason game. Cleveland could give them trouble on defense a little bit. They'll play tough, but
Well, they could give him part of the problem is we always talk about how important it is to have a quarterback. They don't have one right now. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And whoever it is, you know, Whedon's the best probably. He had a big week left, but he's concussed. Campbell's concussed. The trick shot, Taney?
Yeah.
Taney?
Yeah.
They signed Kalib Haney.
Yeah.
Some stinky quarterback is going to be on the other side. You know, it would be more scary with Josh Gordon if you had somebody who you thought could at least give him a chance to make
right.
plays.
And they're not running the ball well.
Oh, God, no. Willis McGahee is dead.
Yeah, so, you know, a good little break for the Patriots this weekend. Because
they're not good enough to take breaks right now.
Because next week is going to be tough.
Yes, but they're not good. If that's the mentality they're taking, then they might be in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they're not good enough to take breaks right now. If you can't start games fast, I think they're probably going to start fast this game. I think the Cleveland defense is overrated. They're not very good in the red zone. They're not very good in turnovers. Those things matter against the Patriots. They're kind of like Houston. Their yardage numbers are impressive. Pretty much everything else is not all that impressive. And they're kind of a no-name unit. They don't even have a J.J. Watt to point to.
Yeah.
They have like a handful of guys that all have 2-3 sacks. You know, they have Joe Hayden is probably their star, the cornerback. But the Patriots don't really have a star receiver that you're worried is going to get taken away by Joe Hayden. So I'm not worried about this game, but if they take that mentality that this is a preseason game leading
course,
up to the Ravens,
of course
they'll
they
be
won't.
In trouble.
Of course
they're not
they
good
won't.
Enough to
I'm
take
just
that
doing
thought.
That. Weather is forecasted right now to be sunny but chilly. So it'll be fine. Fine for the Patriots.
Kind of like in here.
Here comes Paul.
Sunny but chilly.
I remembered my jacket today.
I saw that.
Here comes Paul with his black suit and lavender
shirt. It's
actually
warmer, though.
So you were busy today with the cameras, doing all kinds of hits.
Yeah? I was frazzled today.
He gets mad. He goes, yeah.
No,
like
no,
he
no.
wants to fight you.
Well, it's my fault. I mean, well, not really my fault.
Overbooked?
No, just there was a lane closed on 128, so I was about 20 minutes late from when I wanted to be here to do 3 points, so I had to do 3 points after All Access and trying to get this long-term disability thing straightened out in between.
It's life of Paul Perillo. It's hard.
I had a lot of stuff going
He's
on.
He's like Barry Bonds. It's just hard.
Yeah. Are you going to opt it? We got the option to increase our long-term disability here at the Kraft Group.
Yes.
Paul, are you going to opt into that?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that needed to be expanded upon, but I don't really know all the details of it yet.
Yeah.
But you were right. You didn't have to change.
It's supplemental.
But I think you have to change the way it's paid.
Oh, really?
Because you can't get it out of your check anymore from the old company. So if you stay with what you have to start paying them.
You're going to get a bill from the old company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Whereas changing over will continue to come out of your paycheck.
But with an additional fee.
Well, for me personally, it's less.
No, that fee that they quoted you is on top of what you're paying for LTD now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I think somebody should probably go to the meeting between 12 and 6.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be able to do that, which is another reason why I'm frazzled.
I didn't even get the packet, so.
Yeah, and then I was totally not expecting. We're going to be interviewing James Devlin at the PFW TV show. And because I had to leave early today, Andy was nice enough to pinch hit for me. So I wasn't really thinking in terms of doing this interview. So now I'm in no way prepared to do that.
Because now he can, because it's early.
Yeah.
Oh, and I asked for James Devlin thinking that Andy would be doing the interview.
See, we've decided it would be awkward for me to do it and say, like, I was a high school fullback. You're awesome.
But you'd only have to stand 3 inches away.
So now I'm going to ask you.
It's not appropriate.
I'm going to ask. I'm going to make fun of him.
He can make fun of me, saying, "You know."
So Andy really wanted to do this interview because you know he was a high school fullback,
but he has a restraining order.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, you can let him know how Andy has a crush on him.
I will.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I might say exactly what Andy just said. That's kind of what I had in my head.
And a little programming note: tomorrow on the show, Brian Lowe will be here to say his goodbyes.
Oh, nice!
He's leaving the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's going into the private sector.
Hot dogs and sausages.
13 years.
Yeah. Going out of military service into the private sector.
That's right.
The private sector.
It's funny. All these people,
guy in the world.
They have kids. It really changes their whole life.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why.
But he'll be here tomorrow, so I don't know at what point, but we'll try to make it brief because we've got a lot to do.
You won't
tomorrow.
Succeed.
Ice cold beverages.
If Brian Lowe's involved, you won't succeed.
He said he actually emceed some type of thing with Brady last night. And afterwards, he went up and told him he was going to be leaving. And Brady was like, oh, man, that's too bad. You know, we really need to keep in touch. And I said to Bielak, so did you tell him, you know, I don't have the cell phone
number?
Can
you, I just need,
right,
you know, the Costa Rican number, the L.A. number.
Yeah, he was
whatever.
Like, you know, keep in touch.
How am I going to do
yeah,
that?
How might I do that? I don't think I have your current cell phone number. Could
Let
you
me
give
get
that.
That.
To
I'll
me?
Just, you know, just I'll just punch it in.
But Brady was very gracious, very nice. You know?
And then when he walks away, he turns to me. Who's
that?
The F is
right?
That?
I see him all the time, but I didn't even know he worked here. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email
line.
Address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. Anything else we need to talk about? I mean, we're obviously going to get into the Browns. Anything left over from Houston that we need to go over? I don't think so, really. I think
I don't,
you know,
really see anything.
I mean, we're going to get into a little Hightower today because people are still emailing in about him.
He's great. I'm with Bill.
Anything that Bill said, you know, we teased the Jets thing, so we urge people to go and watch that. But anything else he said today that we need to go over?
He answered a lot of Rob Gronkowski stuff that I...
Well, Mike Reese is obviously doing a expose on Rob Gronkowski because he had many, many questions on where his status is, what he brings to the table, how he changes things. And
but it took him a while to get to it because it was like 5 minutes into the question, he goes, I guess what I was really trying to ask was... It was just a lot of stuff about, you know, he can't make up the time he missed.
Right. You just can't...
You know, you
duplicate
can't, you do your best and right. everything, and then there was some stuff about, you know, we're not just throwing to him. It's not like we draw it up and say we're just going to throw it to, you know.
Right.
It. There was a lot going back and forth of no magnitude at all.
Right.
He's great. He's the key to the offense. I mean, we can sum it up in like three sentences. He's great. He's the most important player on the offense not named Brady. He's irreplaceable. They're at their best when he's out there doing what he does.
Yep. There's no doubt. He changes things.
And Paul thinks he's the league MVP?
League MVP?
Yeah.
Really? Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah, he won't get any attention or votes for that.
It's that age-old argument that is idiotic. No offense, Paul. But, like, you have to not play to win the MVP.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have to
prove how valuable
you are by not playing.
When I say this, I don't think he's really
the MVP. I know.
Okay.
I know what you're doing.
Well, you know, not to get into whole MVP discussion like we do sometimes, but I think there's a lot of guys in the NFL that are equal value to their teams. And I'm talking Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and you go down the list, any one of these guys have equal value to their
right.
team.
I would agree.
You know?
Certainly we're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers
yeah.
in Green Bay. So, you know, he could be the MVP because he's missing time
right.
and they're falling apart. So that if that's the barometer. But at some level it's also you have to have a great year. You can't just prove your value by not being out there. So.
Right.
But he is doing the double dip. You know, he could, through 10 games, put up ridiculous numbers that you go, wow, if he only played in six more games. But, you know, so is Josh Gordon. I mean, the guy's got 1,200 yards in 10 games.
Right.
Pretty ridiculous number.
But then you go to what did that value give his team? And
right.
if you're a losing team, then, okay, well, he's good, but...
Well, then from the Gronkowski perspective... You're no better with him.
That's
you,
true.
You look better.
The offense is certainly
the offense
better.
Is better.
Right.
But
the record
many,
isn't any better.
They lost to Carolina. They lost to the Jets. So you're actually worse with him than you were without him.
Yeah.
So if we're going to use that argument, then
right.
he's terrible.
Yeah.
I left that part out of my commentary.
Good, good. But I do think it's remarkable. Just six games in, he's second in receptions. He's second in yards. He's going to blow by Edelman within a week or two in yards. He's already tied for the touchdown lead.
And if Brady was a little bit more accurate, he would even have bigger numbers.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he definitely could have had a few more.
No, it's true.
He almost made Paul choke over there.
No, I mean, that play last Sunday in Houston, had that ball been thrown a little bit better, a little higher, a little longer, he was behind the receiver. He was... He might have scored or at least had 20 yards.
And if yeah. and those that first game back when you had the one-handed catch, the ball through the hands, the one down the middle.
Right.
I mean, he's this close to having ridiculous numbers in six games back.
Yep.
But the bottom line is he's just the offense kind of radiates off of him. Everything that he does is key to what this offense wants to be.
Yep.
All right. And he had a spike off yesterday or whatever that was.
I think Brady was involved in that. Was that the Pepsi thing?
No.
No?
Not unless Pepsi is body armor.
I don't know.
So I heard Bill had a little fun, too, with Bert Breer.
Yeah, just a little.
My buddy from NFL Network on that Gronkowski thing.
What has happened
like when you were asking me all
those
questions.
Him in such a good mood on Monday that it has really radiated throughout the week.
Credit for the
You know, yesterday it was funny. Today it's obnoxious. Is that,
wait till tomorrow.
Tomorrow would be insufferable.
But, yeah, he had a number of different smirks throughout. He had some fun with Bert Breer. He had a nice Jets quote that we're teasing for people to go listen to.
Oh, okay, because I don't know. I was going to ask you about the Jets.
Oh, you'll have to click on it. Looking for hits on the website.
The world will never
know.
Well,
speaking of teases, we filmed the PFW show yesterday, and there is a not-so-subtle dig at Mike Tomlin in there, choreographed by Andy Hart.
Yes. Which may either be pretty good or absolutely asinine and ridiculous.
It's all up to the editors. You did your job, Andy. I have to give you credit. You did your job.
Okay.
It needs to be edited well.
I'm wiping my hands of it then.
Yeah, so we'll see tomorrow.
Funny thing happened on the way to that historic quarterback draft, by the way.
They're all not going to be in it.
Huh.
Why, what happened? They're not good anymore?
Marcus Mariota has decided he's going to stay in school.
Okay.
The kid from Hundley, is it Brett Hundley? From UCLA, has decided he's staying in school.
Right.
Zach Mettenberger tore his ACL.
Who I don't really like, by the way. I think he's really
good. I think he's more of a prototypical.
I think he might be the best in the bunch.
Yeah. Now, he's a little raw, but he's got size and the physical attributes. Maybe he comes out with a torn ACL, but still now there's a little bit of a question mark there. So, yeah, there's the...
And Menzel...
Manziel's still there, but there's still a lot of questions as to whether he's going to be in the NFL.
Exactly.
He's not
being it the last few weeks in the college.
He played pretty good the other night.
Was that a sentence
you thought so?
Spewed?
Oh, yeah. He's all by himself on that team.
Well,
he
is outside. But
he's got that one receiver, and then they triple-team him. Who,
Evans? Is he coming out?
Yeah, the big guy. I don't know. Mike Evans.
Yeah.
All right, let's pump the brakes on draft talk.
Well, it's
you're playing the role of Ask PFW emailers.
I know we're
in the midst of another run, but are we drafting a running back next year, and which one?
Let's get back to relevant topics like how Andy, softened up Bill Belichick for the rest of the media.
All right. Well, we might as well go to the phone since there's no other table setters.
Is that all Tomlin got, just the fine, 100 grand?
Draft pick is still in play.
Oh.
I don't know why it's still in play. I don't really understand. It's something to do with if there's unforeseen consequences of the event.
That's a big fine, though. 100 grand's a big fine.
Oh, yeah. But a draft pick is massive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're waiting to see the final draft. I don't really understand.
I'm glad no one cared that he did that, which is what, everybody was, the hue and cry. Like, if Belichick did that, the hue and cry. Yeah. No one's paid any attention to this. It's only been the top story for a whole week.
Speaking of no one caring, I tweeted out today that I think I'm the only Red Sox fan that cares that Jacoby Ellsbury is gone.
Well, you're the only male Red Sox fan.
I liked him. I thought he was a good player. And
the ladies are disappointed.
Well,
I've been told he's the hottest Red Sox player in a decade.
Beyond that, I think he's a really 5-tool player.
Yeah. He's not a 5-tool player. He's not.
He isn't.
I think
he can't throw and he can't hit for power. That's two of the tools.
I think he's really good. I think he's had a slow start to the season. He still ended up over 300. I think he's a good player.
He is a good player. He's not a great player.
And I
thought you had to be great to make $150 million.
I appreciated him while he was here.
So did everybody.
Unlike some people.
No, everybody appreciated him while he was here. They're all pulling a Fred Kirsch and kicking him on the way out the door.
I'm like the only one that didn't like him when he was here.
Now you're going to play him 19 times a year.
Well, not really. Maybe 8 or 9. Those are the only ones he'll be healthy for.
See what I'm saying?
He's overrated, Fred. It's
he's
a bad
not
signing
overrated.
For them.
I think he's really good.
He's not a 21-point-something million a year player. He's not.
Well, baseball's ridiculous.
Well, on some level, you're rated by your salary. That is your value. And he's overrated. He's not that good. No. He's going to lose his speed at some point, and he'll be less of a player.
I'll miss him.
Point.
When he was at bat, I'll stay on and I'll watch.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's
exciting.
He
wanted to see that ground ball in the hole between second and
exciting.
First to see if he could beat it out.
I think he's a good gap hitter. I think a lot of times when the rest of the team was not hitting, he was keeping him going. When he's on base, he's always a threat. I think he's an exciting ball player.
$153 million.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline. Mike's in Oregon. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
I got your back, Fred, with the Jacoby Ellsbury thing.
Thanks.
So you would have paid him $150 million?
No.
No, oh, I see, I wouldn't have done that either, but I just will miss him. That's all I'm saying. I'll miss him.
See, I don't miss him at all. I just can't think of anything that I'm going to miss.
All right.
Well, no, I've never made a, I never had a job over the minimum wage, but I don't see how a person can go from like Boston to New York. I know money's a big factor, but still, come on. It's like the biggest rivalry in baseball. How can you just like walk over like a...
Is it anymore? Is the Red Sox Yankees thing a little bit passe?
It's lost some of its luster, but I think it's still up there.
Yeah,
it's not exactly what it was at its own peak.
And one thing Red Sox fans have to understand is Yankee fans don't look at it the same way we do. Maybe
I'm not sure that's true anymore.
Well, maybe now, but for a while, Yankee fans could care
right,
less
it was
about
the hammer
Red
and the
Sox.
Nail.
Right.
Then it became more of two nails or two hammers. I mean, there was some competitive balance there.
Yeah.
But I think both sides still care. It's just not at the level when it peaked. Yeah. About
it's like Canadians and Bruins. Is that still as big as it used to be?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, out here in Oregon, no one likes hockey. It's pretty sad. So it's bad. Before I ask the question, I have a small request. Could you guys promise to all the listeners out there that you guys aren't going to pull like a Lindsay Petrucci and a Brad Lowe? Because I don't think. Oh, sorry, Brian Lowe. Because I don't think we could take it if you guys left. I really don't.
We don't really seem to have any options, so.
Well,
unlike Bilo, I don't know anybody in the PR industry.
I actually think Andy's on the verge of leaving any day now. I mean, he works for EEI
just,
more than he does
just
us.
Just for the afternoon. I got to come back the next day.
He's double dipping.
Personal assistant.
That's the problem with that TDI, too. Because, like, for Paul and I, that doesn't include, like, Comcast and stuff, right?
Right.
It's just our salary. So we're not really going to replicate our income.
That's correct.
Yeah, got to keep that in mind.
Well, I think that you guys are going to help us get over Brady leaving and maybe Belichick, so stay where you are.
Well, you know, that's years from now, so, I mean, I don't know if anyone can make promises.
Well, I'll still be here.
Paul will be here. Fred, if alive, will be here.
All right, good. And then I think you guys touched a little bit on this yesterday, but besides Denver, who do you think poses the biggest threat for us in the playoffs?
In the AFC, I assume you mean?
Yes.
Great question.
It is. Baltimore, if their defense can start, you know, playing well, and it looks like it is, they kind of know how to beat us.
I'm going to go Kansas City.
I'm going to go Kansas City, too.
I mean, they can run the ball with Charles. They have a big receiver. They have a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, generally, not going to give you extra opportunities. And their defense, assuming they get Ali and Houston relatively healthy, I think they can match up with you a little bit.
And that's a quarterback who has stepped up and made plays in big games in the recent past. He played an outstanding game on Sunday and didn't get any help at all from his receivers.
But I think he's been doing that. I think he did that against Denver the couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and he also...
You don't take anything from the fact that Denver beat him twice?
Well, Denver's better than them. But he said besides Denver.
Right. But right now, is our offense as good as Denver's?
No.
No? You don't think so?
No.
We don't have the weapons at receiver. It's so Gronk and Vereen. We're more like New Orleans, where we have the tight end and the running back, and then contributing at receiver.
Well, okay, so we get the production from different areas.
And I also don't think right now your defense...
not as good.
No, but I think they have three receivers and a tight end, and a pretty good running back. Like, they're more balanced in terms of the weapons they have available.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that defensively they also are better than the Patriots right now, with all the injuries the Patriots have on
defense.
Yeah. Now, the Broncos have a ton, too, but...
Well, everybody does.
I don't think they lost I don't think they lost Mayo and Wilfork, those caliber players. Champ is back.
I don't know if he's doing any good.
You know, well, it's better than what they had out there for the Patriots when they had all those practice squad guys on the field in the second half. And anything's an improvement over that.
I'll get to class next to Marcus Mariota, who's staying, thank goodness.
Oh, nice. Okay. Tell him we said hello.
Michael, great question, though. Great
all
question.
Right. Thanks, Mike. I like it when the callers leave.
Baltimore is a possibility too, Fred, though. You know, Baltimore at some point to me is going to start, they have to start scoring some points. Their defense has been tremendous from start to finish. They had one bad game, the opening game of the season. And other than that, they've been very, very good. But offensively, they just haven't been able to run the ball at all. And that's taken away their ability to get the ball downfield, which is their trademark, their vertical passing game. Flacco has been much less effective in the vertical passing game. But if Pitt has started practicing, if he can come back and be reasonable to go with Dixon and give him those two tight ends that they've had, And now Jones is back, too, Jacoby Jones, who missed like four or five games earlier in the year, to go with Torrey Smith. Maybe I'm just saying. I mean, the offensive line still missing, you know, they got rid of McKinney, and they're missing, I can never pronounce the guy's name, but Assemelie. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, I don't know, something like that.
They missed. He's been out for the year. Their offensive line has not recovered from losing two starters early in the year. And Flacco has been under a lot of pressure. But all it takes is one game that, you know, they protect him reasonably well. And the Patriots' defense right now is concerning to all.
And they have it. It against
they're not
going
to be afraid.
Right.
They're not going to be afraid.
Come in here and be ready to play. Tim in Colorado Springs says, I'm no longer able to listen to PFW in Progress live. Did something change? When I click on the link, it appears to be loading a video, then returns an error. We're sorry, but this video is not available. It used to just pop up in the PFW in Progress screen, and I listened to the broadcast. The only way I can listen now is wait for it to be on the website. Tim, if you email, well, you're not listening, so you don't know. But
he was going to listen later, so right. Say it now.
So email web at patriots.com, and we need to know, like, what device you're using and all that stuff, because it could be maybe a new Android device. I don't know. But we need to know what device you're on so that we can troubleshoot.
Bottom line is computers suck. I just had an issue when I was watching something. You know how you, in the bottom right-hand corner, usually you have your speaker.
Right.
You can turn it on and off. It's gone.
Wow.
It's just not there anymore. Hmm. So I have to go into control panel and audio to mute or unmute my speakers when I want to.
Oh, boy. That's
frickin'
terrible.
Disappeared.
Terrible. Eric
Holy
writes
Moses.
In, there are multiple reports that Kyle Love has been released by the Chiefs. Do you think that the Patriots should re-sign him, provided the Patriots have resolved any legal liability issues regarding his diabetes? Kyle Love? I don't think so, huh?
No, I think they made that decision, and they're going to stand by it. I don't think that decision was going to be altered by their lack of personnel or their, you know what I mean? They just made that decision, this is the way we're going, and we're done.
Right.
Unless he doesn't have diabetes anymore, which that's not really possible, right?
But, you know, the Chiefs got rid of him, so they did that for a reason. You know,
yeah, I think the Patriots have who they have right now. This is who they're going to go to battle with in terms of the run defense. You hope Spikes, who, you know, is still battling that knee injury, you hope he gets better, and you hope maybe you can get a little more out of Soap, but this is what you got.
Tom from Baltimore, I was thinking about how when Baltimore last year switched their defensive coordinator late, and it really helped fuel their run to the Super Bowl. Do you think that there is a move the Patriots can make at this point that can help the defense? Could it be a personnel move or a scheme change? I think we need to see more Jamie Collins at outside linebacker and maybe switch Ninkovich with Hightower.
Well, that's not going to happen, based on Bill Belichick's own comments saying he wished he had other players playing as well as Hightower is. Now, they've been multiple the last few weeks. We've seen more 3-4 fronts. They've tried that. Early on, it was mostly when Sopoaga was in. He'd be a nose tackle with Jones and Villano on the ends. You probably will see some of that bouncing back and forth depending on matchups and what they feel is the best. But, I mean, no, I don't think Matt Patricia is going to get fired. And even if he did, I think it's irrelevant. It's Bill Belichick's defense. It's not, you know, in Baltimore it was Cam Cameron and the kind of the feud and all that with Flacco and not working together. I don't think there's it's personnel.
The question is, given the personnel, would it be even worse if they didn't have somebody like Belichick and Patricia?
Probably.
You know?
Probably. I mean, they haven't – Denver, if you give them the credit for the game plan, they haven't fallen on their face. They've not been good, but it hasn't been ridiculous at this point.
Right, 9-3. I wanted – Jack says, I wanted to get your take on Hightower. None of you seem remotely impressed with his performance so far, and I agree. He looks like he's confused out there, but Belichick seems to be happy with him so far. At least that's what he says in interviews.
Yep.
What's Hightower doing really well that I'm not seeing? Would you rather see Dane Fletcher or Jamie Collins getting more of Hightower's reps?
I think Jamie Collins has been intriguing in coverage. He's a big, long athlete who gets in the way. So in some coverage situations, yeah, I'd probably rather see him out there. And I think Fletcher has a certain energy to him, but the potential is still Hightower. The combination of size and versatility is I want to see more from him.
You know, the email is right. You know, when Belichick is interviewed, he does have good things to say about Hightower, but, you know, what else is he going to say, you know? I think what we need to do is pay attention to what kind of reps Hightower is getting and when, and what other moves Belichick makes in the offseason at the linebacker position. That's the only way we're going to know how he really feels.
That doesn't change anything now.
Doesn't change anything now. But, you know, I guess the first indication would be, you know, right after Mayo got hurt, Hightower had the sticker. And then the next game, they took it away. And you could say, well, in this game, it's a different matchup. He's not going to be on the field as much as he was. Maybe, but probably not. I mean, there's probably other reasons why they took that sticker out. And if it is because he's not going to be on the field as much, well, then why? He's supposed to be that linebacker that is a three-down linebacker. You know, so that in its, so there's an indication. And then going forward, if Collins gets more and more reps, you know, and Hightower doesn't, that's another indication. So,
but we haven't seen
that's
that
what we need
much.
To pay attention to, and not what Belichick says.
We saw that in the second half 2 weeks ago, and I think that was health related. I think he was dinged up after that screen pass, and then he was back this week. So we haven't seen any, and I don't even really buy the green dot thing. Maybe a little bit. He's not going to be out there all the time, but whatever. I think the green dot thing's a little overrated. I really do think it's just regurgitating. And then once the play is called, they're all making adjustments, whether it's Chandler Jones, whether it's Dante Hightower.
No, I understand that, but I think it means something. I don't think it's huge, but, you know, Mayo was the guy. You didn't when Mayo was healthy, you didn't see them switching around when he had it.
No, because he's always on the field.
Right. And so now we have to make – Mayo's gone now. We have to make a decision. Who are we going to give the green dot to? Well, we want to give it to a guy who knows the defense is going to be out there all the time.
Right.
Let's give it to Hightower. And then all of a sudden – they
next
don't.
Week, you say, well,
I don't think they would have given it to Hightower with the idea that next week we're going to rethink it.
Well, but I also don't think they give it to him with it locked in stone. He's not Gerard Mayo.
Well, nothing's locked in stone, but had it worked out, I think it would have stayed that way. I think something.
See, I don't. Yeah. I think it was more a game plan or whatever the following
okay,
week.
Okay, so you're buying that.
Yeah. I'm not buying that he's playing great. I don't know why Bill believes that. That is a disconnect between Bill and I, but I'm not buying the green dot or any of that. I think Hightower has been the same guy all year.
My only point is in trying to evaluate Hightower's play, you have to look at all these little things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and see what they add up to. Because you're not going to get it by asking Bill how does Hightower play.
No.
So you have to look at the other things. And I think, you know, if you look at history, you know, what the Patriots do are clear indications. It ended up being clear indications of how they felt the player was playing. Whether it's a transaction, guys they brought up, you know, whatever. I those are what told you how they felt about certain players.
But it doesn't happen in a vacuum, and that's the problem. Like this week, if Spikes can't play, my guess is Hightower will be your middle linebacker.
Well, yeah.
Well,
now,
what does that mean?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
It's because Spikes is out.
Now it's out of necessity.
Right.
Right.
So in an ideal situation, if everybody was healthy and the defense was the same every week, yeah, you could do that. But it's so hard week to week, game plan and personnel-wise.
And, you know, from all reports, Spikes is hurting.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, he's
hurting.
Playing
on and, 1.5 legs.
You know, some people are saying that we're probably going to hear about off-season surgery.
Yep.
As soon as, you know, the season's over.
And he's had knee.
Yeah.
Is it 2 years now? It's going back. He's had knee issues, various.
Yep.
So I don't know if this is a continuation, a different issue, but now this isn't great for his free agency either. That might actually, maybe that helps the Patriots. Maybe he's not going to be as hot a commodity, and maybe you get him back if you want him.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mike's in Puerto Rico. Hey, Mike.
Well, Mike from Puerto Rico. Remember, I moved over to California. But
okay.
I didn't tell the guy, but my bad.
How are
you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. Only hear two voices, Eric and Paul.
Paul is doing an interview.
It's Andy and Fred. See.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That was a Ron Burgundy, Eric and Paul, question mark?
Right.
And, Paul is doing the interview for our TV show right now, hopefully talking to James Devlin, who just obviously had the greatest touchdown run in the history of the franchise. And I don't know where Eric is. Who knows?
But Paul will be back soon.
Why? Did you want to fight with him?
No, just wondering. got a couple of things for you guys to discuss either on the call or later on. Tlaib and Edelman. Which one do you think is more crucial for us to sign, either on a long-term basis or I don't think franchising Edelman is a good choice, but I think that he needs to stick around as far as his importance, not only to special teams, but obviously to the offense. I mean, he's got, 70-plus catches this year, and I think he's only going to get better as he keeps on getting reps as long as he stays healthy. And I think as far as Talib is concerned, I think our defense takes a whole different look when he's in there rather than when he's not.
Yeah, I like the idea of franchising Talib and signing Edelman to a three-year contract.
What is the three-year contract for?
$15 million.
Will he sign it?
I don't know.
Does he get more interest this offseason coming off a year where he stayed healthy?
Yeah.
Four games to go, but stayed healthy and led a Patriots offense through maybe a tough
time.
Yeah,
he might be able to get more, but I'd be willing to give him 3 years, 15.
I think they'll sign him to
with
that.
With more than 50% of it guaranteed.
I think they'll sign him to that. I think he has a lot of loyalty to this organization for what they drafted him, made him into a receiver, you know, kind of dedicated themselves to improving him as a player. He has the same agent as Tom Brady. I think he loves Brady. They have a great relationship. I think that'll all factor in him. I think there's a hometown discount there. I think he's in the line of Rob Ninkovich or a guy who'd want to stay here and not necessarily seek other opportunities.
You think, I don't know, but yeah.
I think that's the case. Now, I think Talib is the more important one. I think Talib, when healthy, is one of the two or three most important players on this football team.
I just worry about doing a long... Now, both of them have injuries, but Talib's going to command more money,
maybe.
No doubt.
Maybe.
And, you know, he's had the cranky hip. I'd like to know from a doctor, what is that hip problem?
But
is
they
this
know
something,
that.
Well, yeah, and is this something that you would be afraid to sign him long term because it's always going to be a problem?
From afar, it's a fear. Just because it was an issue last year and it's an issue this year, it's recurring. And he's clearly not the same player when he's hurt that he is, obviously, when he's healthy. I mean, there's a dramatic drop-off. The guy in September was phenomenal. The guy in September was, you know, defensive player of the year type good at cornerback. And, yeah, if he's looking $50 million, if he wants a, you know, 5 or 6 year $50 million deal, well, now you really got to be careful with the hip and the health and all that. You can't afford to invest in that and have him missing half seasons or full seasons down the road.
Right.
I just think we haven't had a player like him in these parts, and maybe not to the level, but since Ty Law. I think he brings that type of physicality. He brings that type of, you know, the defense has to account for him when he's out there. And not that he's a complete shutdown corner, but I think he's pretty close to it.
He is. So. He's about as close to it as anybody in this day and age, right. You know, outside of Darrell Revis. I mean, he's probably next in that group of next corners.
Yep.
And you're right. It's since Ty Law. They're, you know, physical, want to match up, competitive, cocky. They bring something to a defense.
And believe it or not, he might be a better leader for the team than Ty Law, from all accounts.
Yeah, maybe. So. He certainly fits in really, really, really well with that defensive
secondary.
I mean,
Ty Law was a great player. We love him. But Ty Law was all about Ty Law.
Yes, he said that.
Yeah.
He was the CEO of Ty Law, Inc.
Right. So, you know, you weren't getting much in terms of leadership from Law.
So, basically, okay, before I get off, I'll rounding this point off. So, you think franchise to leave in hopes and efforts to really sign him long-term?
Yeah.
And try to get Edelman wrapped up by before the season ends?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd
like to do that, sure.
But that requires some give on Edelman's side. And I do think it's a little dangerous for the Patriots to do that, to just assume the guy you've had healthy for 12 games is what you're going to get for the next 3 years moving forward.
It's true.
I mean, he's had a lot of
injuries.
With
both those guys, injuries are...
And he's more than doubled his career production.
Right.
You know, some of that is opportunity, some of that is health.
You know, and some guys have that injury problem, and then all of a sudden, boom, they get over it, and they have a healthy career. And I'm hoping that Edelman's that guy.
And some guys don't.
Right. Some guys don't. Thanks for the call, Mike, from Puerto Rico in California now. Another Mike who is in Smells Great, Florida.
Doesn't exist.
Hey there, gentlemen.
You're in Doesn't Exist, Florida.
I'd like to use a Christian line, but I'll leave that to him about Florida smelling like something
else. Now that's not nice.
Wow.
You
wow.
kiss your kids with that mouth?
Wow.
Listen, gentlemen, a couple of points I'd like to make, and then maybe anything interesting you could hit on. But Andy, I enjoyed you on that show the other day. I caught it. EEI was delighted to hear your voice.
Well, thank
but,
you.
I got to tell you, one of the questions you, and if you ever think about your interviews in the future, think about this one. How's this for a question? So, Bill, is it frustrating when a pass isn't close to the receiver and can't
yeah,
catch
I know. It was not a good question, and I realized halfway through I didn't know how I was asking
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, that was the only question I didn't like from you.
Yeah, right. It was not a good question. I knew it halfway through, but I couldn't pull out. I couldn't pull up.
Yeah. Oh, you couldn't pull out, huh? Okay. And then, but you know what was a great question? Was actually Fred's question was one of the better questions I've ever heard asked. I don't think anybody's ever asked that type of a biting question, and I thought it was pretty well answered by Bill too.
Well, he definitely used it as an opportunity to talk about the refs.
He definitely was not completely honest, because there's no doubt in my mind, if they know people don't call, you know, illegal contact, they're going to push the illegal contact that game.
Right.
They're going to be more physical. And that's smart coaching.
Right.
That's not cheating.
It's smart coaching to know what the kind of reffing crew you have coming in, what their strengths and weaknesses are, tendencies, and to tell your team what that is.
As Bill would say, I think it's irresponsible to not do that, to not take advantage of, you know, doing business as business is being done, as he likes to say.
You know, I know for a fact that I've heard from a player that Bill will, you know, when in sort of the kickoff meeting about the team they're about to play, he'll go right down the line and say, okay, their coach is, you know, this is where he coached under, these are the tendencies that he goes right down the line and talks about, you know, who these guys are, where they came from, who they learned from, what type of systems they grew up in. He gets into that with the players. And if you're a Patriot, you get to learn everything about your opponent. And I've heard players say it's really kind of exciting on Wednesday when you get that game plan, because it's something different every week. And it's something that we all look forward to.
Hey, cool. Listen, two quick things, too. I think Bill's Hightower praise, think back to that guy. I don't even remember his name, that loser from the Raiders, that pass rusher. What was his name that we gave up?
Why can't I think of him?
Richard Seymour?
No.
The guy who Bill says everybody should play like him, and they caught him as soon as they could.
Derek
Burgess.
Derek Burgess, yes.
Yep. Was that the one they had? He had his own.
Did absolutely nothing.
Right.
Did absolutely nothing.
Right. Same as Hightower. So I'm wondering if it's not the same type of situation.
The only thing that there was a part of me that wondered, okay, he's just propping him up publicly. This is whatever, public support. But he sort of took that next step of, there's a lot of other players that I wish were playing as well as he was. Feels like another step, you know, going above and beyond just the standard pro support coach.
Paul Washington.
So, that next step is what made me think, wow, he might really believe this.
Mm. Cool. Hey, guys, real quick. Sorry, two things. Fred said when Eric was bashing the Tavon Wilson pick, we'll see. This will be a good indication of our scouting. Well, I think the answer has been answered. And then who was it? Was it Andy or Paul that loved Nick Foles coming out of college?
I think it might have been Paul.
Yeah, nice call on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're seeing what happened. If they ever let PFW draft, we'd have quite a team.
Yeah, it would be all like edge rushers.
And that's a bad thing in this day and age?
Right. Okay,
thanks for the call.
I think he's gone. I don't know. They're hanging up on their own now. That's great. I don't have to do it. Pat in Agawam, Mass. Has a couple questions I posed yesterday but wasn't able to get my email through. To shorten it up, do you think this team is good enough to win 3 playoff games in order to advance to the Super Bowl? I personally don't, and think it's detrimental to go 4-0 in December to clinch at least, I don't know if he means detrimental or it has to happen, to clinch at least the second seed. I like our chances in the Baltimore game just because our offense has played good against the last 2 good defenses we've played. It's a good point. I mean, you know, regardless of the score, Carolina and Texans statistically are 2 of the better defenses in the league. And, you know, the Patriots were able to move the ball against both of them.
Yep, marched up and down the field.
So that is a good point. Do they have to be the number 2 seed in order to have any chance? Not necessarily, but
I think
it helps.
It really helps.
Yeah.
And it's not so much to me about the rest versus anything else. It's almost as much about, and that's part of it, you know, with the guys you have that are going to be banged up, guys that are injury prone, whatever. The more you play, the more chance you have to get hurt. But the bigger issue to me is I just don't think the divide is that big. And therefore, I think the Patriots can beat any team they play. I also think they could lose to any team they play in the postseason. And if you add an extra game of that, well, that increases your chances of not going to a Super Bowl, not winning all 3 games. It's harder. And because their margin for error is so small, you don't want to play any extra games that you could lose.
Saul says, who would you give Rookie of the Year to on the Patriots at the 3-quarter mark? Also, who would you say our best draft pick of the last 5 years has been, not named Gronk? Matt at San Diego State University. I called in and recommended Kevin O'Connell and Chaz Schillens a few years ago. I know. No need to thank me for those great tips. Rookie of the year to date.
Rookie of the year to date.
Ryan Allen.
Ryan Allen's been very good. The other guys all just kind of balance each other out.
Right.
Like Tompkins, Dobson are kind of just the same, you know, minimal contributions, but some contributions. Jamie Collins, bit player.
Yeah. I mean, he's coming on now. We'll
Logan
see.
Ryan, Daron Hardy.
By the end of the season, he might be. But right now, I'd give it to Ryan Allen.
It's hard to argue against it.
You know?
I don't have an argument against it.
Paul's here.
And then.
I just seamlessly come back and forth.
Other than Gronk, best draft pick of the last 5 years.
We are trending towards Chandler Jones, I think.
Yeah. I think that's it, huh?
Yeah, Nate Solder might be in the conversation
yeah.
if you like him.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. You know, you could have been trending towards Stephen Ridley as a third-round pick, 1,200-yard rusher, but that's really not going where you wanted it to.
Paul's back. Do we need to fill him in on anything?
I don't think so.
No?
How do you know you weren't here?
Because
somebody could have called and called you the biggest fraudulent. Oh, did you love Nick Foles?
Did I love Nick Foles? I liked Nick Foles.
Caller wanted to give one of us credit for loving Nick Foles.
Not me.
I went, must have been Paul, because I don't remember anything. Did I love him? Maybe I loved him. I loved Nick Foles. I knew he was going to be good.
I don't remember you loving him.
I don't either.
But I didn't dislike him either. I thought he had some ability.
I got to consult my notes.
In college, he was one of those guys that I tend not to like because it's just sort of those spread. Like Brandon Whedon I didn't like in college because he just sort of stands back there and, you know, everything is spread out and you just throw into guys that are generally open because the coverage scheme didn't look like there was a lot of reading being done, reading of coverages. And I thought a little of that about Foles, but Foles was better than Whedon, I thought, in college.
All right, we'll take one more email, then we'll take a break. RJ in Colorado Springs, the outlook against Cleveland. How is the offensive line shaping up for this weekend? If Cannon is not ready to go, and I don't think he will be,
I don't either.
Whose turn is it to step up?
Not out of practice today. I didn't get that update so far.
Whose turn is it to step up? And I apologize. I haven't heard much recently about our front five. Are they healthy enough as it stands now to hold up for a playoff run?
Yes.
I don't have any problem with Svitek playing.
And he certainly doesn't have a bigger challenge this week. Than Antonio Smith and J.J. Watt.
Other than that right tackle with Cannon and Vollmer, I think they're that's the starting four.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mankins, on occasion, has looked banged up.
Yeah.
As I said on our TV show, he plays through everything, so until he's not out there, I'm just going to assume he's going to be out there and be fine.
Do you see the Patriots resting guys like Spikes and Dennard this week with Cleveland's weak quarterback situation?
No. Well, they may not play. I don't know if they're going to rest them.
Well, if this was a playoff game, maybe Dennard would play. Do you think that maybe they wouldn't play him in this game?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you might err on that side a little bit, but, you know, if we take Bill at his word, he has always said, you know, I don't really look at it that way.
Yeah, but we know he does, right?
I don't know.
We know he monitors guys.
Sure.
He has to. That's what a good coach would do.
Of course. Best interest of your football team.
Well, yeah, that's why you can say that for anything. You know, I kicked this guy in the face because it was in the best interest of my football team.
Finally, one quick over-under for
this
game.
A ridiculous level.
Over-under, 5 touches for Stephen Ridley.
Under.
I have to say under at this point. I would be surprised now if you were active.
All right. Well, let's take a break, Kevin. Kevin. And
Kevin!
We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Medicare. Bank, member FDIC. FIOS available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me
about. No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right. Speaking of Brett Favre and Jen Sterger, I tweeted out yesterday, just as a joke, obviously, that I heard rumblings that Patriots fans were starting a petition to keep Rex Ryan, head coach of the Jets. And you wouldn't believe how many Jets fans took that bait. Oh, they were all over me. Oh, well, you can beat the Patriots. And, oh, boy, it was great. It was great.
That really is low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Jets fans, it's like the ones that used to attack Andy, you know, because where the Jets were in his Wilson-Hart Power Index. They have to call it right in. Listen, it is what it is. Yeah. You won a few games, but you don't have a lot of talent.
And how do they get it? What do you mean?
Like, why are you coming up on
Jets fans' feeds? No, they're probably doing searches for Rex Ryan all the time. And so then they
have their phone set up for anything that about Jets or Ryan.
Yeah, loser.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, all these people had Jets as their Patriots. Some kind of Jets thing for their avatar.
You know? Ballfield good.
They were all big fans. It was just great.
Ballfield good.
You know, and I was going to, I didn't interact with any of them. You know, I was going to say, well, you know, if you feel that one win against the Patriots every year is equal to a Super Bowl, great, keep them. Now, if you were Idzik or Woody Harrelson, would you keep Rex Ryan?
It would all depend on the relationship. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. It would all depend on the relationship between Idzik and Ryan.
Just take it. Just take it. Bring it home with you. You know you want it.
Yeah, you'll get three meals out of that.
You keep walking in and out. It's disconcerting.
Disconcerting. To answer your question, I don't know how Idzik feels about him, if he feels he can work with him. I think he's worth keeping as a coach. You know how I feel about that. I don't love him.
Well, you have a thing for him.
Fred, I think he's an exceptional defensive coach. I don't think he's an exceptional head coach.
Then why would you want to keep him?
Because I think he's a good head coach, and I think there's a lot of guys in this league that are a lot worse than him.
True.
As head coaches.
Yeah.
But if Idzik feels like I don't really have this guy's trust, it seems like that's what it is.
Yeah.
The whole thing, like even right now, is so dysfunctional. Ryan can't. David Garrard should play quarterback this week for them. And they still have a chance to make the playoffs, but that doesn't really help the Jets long term. Rex Ryan's trying to save his job. He's playing David Garrard this week. But what should be happening is John Idzik should say, "Don't worry about making the playoffs.
Right.
Let's keep trying to develop this team, figure out what we have to work with, and see what we have in Geno Smith. Don't worry about your wins and losses, Rex. Let's work together." But that doesn't seem like it's happening there.
Yeah.
And I think all signs are pointing to, regardless of what happens, I mean, I think they could win out and make the playoffs, and I think Ryan's probably still going to be out because I don't think Idzik wants him.
No, I don't think
so. How do
so
you
either.
Feel? Have you, like,
I thought he was a lame duck coach from
He was definitely a lame duck coach. Yeah. The only thing that might have changed was the Jets won more games in the first 10 weeks
it's true.
Than most people thought
but
they Idzik were going
But Idzik hasn't changed, and I think that's one of the reasons why he was a lame duck coach.
I mean, to me, if you're Idzik, you have to stick to your guns. You don't think he's your coach. You don't think it's a good relationship. You fire him.
That's why
you
said it depends on that relationship.
Right.
I agree.
Because otherwise, now I'm undercutting myself, going against what I actually believe and feel because he won a couple games or whatever.
Right. I'm bucking to, you know, pressure because he won a few games.
Right.
Yeah.
Name the top five coaches in the NFL.
You know, that's a good question. Who are the good coaches?
There aren't any.
Obviously, I think Belichick is a good coach.
Belichick is the best.
Was it you talking about it on EEI?
Yeah. To me, it goes Belichick, Peyton, and then you debate. Yeah. I think Payton is the second best coach, and then you debate.
I think Sean Payton's a good coach.
I mean, Chip Kelly could eventually be a good coach.
I can't give him one of the best coaches.
It's
too early.
I think both Harbaughs are very good coaches.
I think Andy Reid's a good coach.
I think Andy Reid's a good coach.
I put John Harbaugh second. Jim Harbaugh, I want to see a little bit more.
I don't know about these Harbaughs. I think Andy Reid would be third after Payton.
Oh, I would take the Harbaughs over Reid. Reid can't judge a clock. That's big. That's big part of head coach's job.
That's a big part of Paul Perillo's head coach.
He can't manage the clock.
That's like rule one. Would you do that if you were an owner? Would you have like situations set up on a computer and like asking the guy to react quickly to what he's going to do?
Sure.
I never thought of it, but that probably would be a good idea.
He'd have the greatest coach in history. Curly Lambeau would walk in. He'd mess up one situation on his little test. You're out!
I think
because a guy fails, it doesn't mean that he's out.
I think Andy Reid's problem was when he tried to have too much power, and but when he's just a coach, he's a pretty good coach.
Andy Reid is a good coach.
And in today's day and age, kind of like the rest of the NFL, he's a very, very good coach. I'm not sure he's a great coach, but there are a lot of bad coaches to mediocre to... Plus the turnover, you have to judge guys on like a year or two, and they're going to be out.
Well, and now, so where are we? We're about six.
I think
Mike McCarthy is a good coach.
We haven't included Pete Carroll over in Green Bay. Pete Carroll would be a guy. Sort
I think
of
Tom
in line.
Coughlin's a good coach.
Yeah,
Pete Carroll is, I think, a lot more like Rex Ryan, but.
Well, you know, here's the thing about
Pete Carroll.
I think he's a
really, really good defensive coordinator.
You know, before he ever had a coaching job and when he was the defensive coordinator with the 49ers, he had an excellent reputation as a defensive coordinator.
I just said, I think he's a great defensive coordinator.
You know, and I think
that's Rex Ryan.
That's coming through.
That's why I think they're similar.
Yeah, that's coming through in Seattle with how he's built that defense.
They all have good rep. Well, not all. For the most part, when you ascend to a head coach, you have a good reputation as a coordinator.
Now, there's not too many failures as coordinators.
Raheem Morris and Kiffin, some of these guys sort of circumvent the system. And
what about Ron Rivera?
I mean, he was a hair away from losing his job.
Yeah.
This year. But they were 1-3.
Like, we're supposedly at what, number 10 in that area? And we're down to guys who were a hair away from being out of
the... Now, the only thing I'll say is there's a handful of guys I just don't know about.
Marvin Lewis.
Lewis is a middle-of-the-pack guy, no question.
Yeah, certainly by his statistics. Right.
But there's a handful of guys, like Mike McCoy. I don't know.
Middle-of-the-pack.
I don't know yet. I just don't know enough yet. But, you know, you look at some of the other guys. Gary Kubiak.
Where's John Fox go?
I think John Fox is like Marvin Lewis. I think he's a middle-of-the-pack
guy. John Fox... Shanahan.
I got Fox ahead of Shanahan.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't like Shanahan at all.
Oh, I don't either.
And some of it's personal. I actually told this to Bill the other day because Fox was on, and he said something about, you know, whatever. And I said, I really like him. When you guys played him in the Super Bowl, I covered them for that week. I like Felt. He had me eaten out of his hand. He was phenomenal.
Did he laugh at all?
He's a really nice guy. Yeah, he smiled and laughed. But so, I actually don't think he's...
I think
functionally, he's not a great coach.
I think he's a pretty good coach. I don't think he's a great coach.
But that,
like the Andy Reids of the world are better than
that's
him.
That's sort of my point. Now,
Andy Reid in the big one.
Ends up being like the 10th or 12th best coach in football, which means there's 20 bad coaches in football or whatever that number is with some of the young guys. Chip
Kelly. Do you think? I mean, Bruce Arians might turn out to be a good head
Bruce
coach.
Bruce Arians looks like a pretty good coach, yeah.
Well, you know, it's too early, but...
Too late.
Right.
Jeff Fisher.
He always thought he could have been a good head coach.
And even if he's great, he's only got a few years to be great.
Right.
There's a good story that Domowicz wrote about him last week. There's a lot of young guys that you just don't know about yet. You know, just kind of
Mike Tomlin, out. I don't think is that
I don't
great.
Think Mike Tomlin's a very good coach.
No.
He's not in my... I got all these guys
ahead I'd put of Marvin Lewis ahead of Mike Tomlin. I know you hate Marvin Lewis.
I don't hate Marvin Lewis, and I would actually
think Marvin Lewis in Mike Tomlin's job would have won a lot more than Mike Tomlin.
I would put Marvin Lewis ahead of Mike Tomlin, but I think they're both second or third tier.
Yeah, I think I give more props to Marvin Lewis for taking over a team that, much like I do with Bruce Arians right now, you're in Arizona and you're finding a way to make the, I mean, that's just, they stink. They always stink, and they never do anything right. So if you're able to make the playoffs and be one and done, you get more credit for that at a place like Cincinnati than you would if you took over Pittsburgh and went one and done.
You know, and I don't know if Chip Kelly's eventually going to be labeled a good coach or proven, but one thing you have to give him credit for, he came in and he changed things. He was not afraid to change things. And so many of these coaches are copycat coaches. You know, they have systems or, you know, and they don't they're afraid to just make waves. He came in he just turned that program upside down.
Yeah, but that doesn't always work either.
It doesn't. But,
no, but I like guys with conviction.
Yeah.
Scott Pioli went to Kansas City and turned it upside down.
And like I said,
Nick Saban went to Miami and turned it upside down.
I don't know if eventually, you know, the record's going to say Chip Kelly, but you got to give a guy credit who has the confidence to do that.
Well, I don't see how you couldn't, though. Like, you're on the line. It's your job.
No,
it's your name. It's your
legacy.
But
sometimes it's safer to take steps, you know, instead of just coming in and I'm ripping this thing up.
I think you have to. I mean, you do it your way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you look back and you say,
NFL, the point I'm making, in the NFL, your way is like so many other guys' ways. They all do kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because a lot of times they're afraid to do it differently.
Right. And most ways are at least partially stolen from the two or three guys you worked for beforehand. Yeah.
Right.
But that's still your way.
I mean, even Bill Belichick, as innovative as he is, most of the stuff he does is offshoots of things that he's learned.
Yeah, I don't think Bill's innovative.
Oh, okay.
If you want to argue on a different day.
All right.
I think he's limited in terms of his innovation. I think he's a great coach, don't get me wrong. But this has been one of my arguments. You know, people want to make him the greatest coach ever, or wherever he ranks in the top three or the top five. How can I rank him with Paul Brown, who Bill Belichick says everything that every team does in the league today is Paul Brown?
Right.
Well, what is every team going to be doing in 10 years if they stole from Bill Belichick?
And Bill Belichick would probably tell you that Paul Brown's the best.
No, I know. But what are people going to be stealing from Bill Belichick in 10 years? What is his legacy in the game?
His ability to not say anything to the media.
Well, then he's not a great coach.
I didn't mean that as a joke.
I mean press conference doer.
The thing that people, because I think a lot of teams try to emulate Bill Belichick, and certainly his coaching tree have all tried to emulate Bill Belichick. But what are the things that they emulate? They emulate how he deals externally. Mm-hmm. Everything is in-house. We don't talk about the opponent. We don't give the media anything. That's not an innovation.
It's the program that they emulate. You know, how you
how you conduct yourself.
Right. I think it's consistency.
X's and O's.
One word for me for Bill Belichick would be consistency. I think it falls in line with that. And then on the field, consistency. Which, by the way, his consistency got put in a little perspective. You know, the 13 straight seasons with a winning record, and it's second most or whatever, blah, blah, blah for him. And Curly Lambeau had two separate stretches of 14 straight seasons. It was like from 20 to 34 and then 35 to 48 or so. I was like, wow. I know it's a different era and different game and everything, but sometimes you see some of those old records and you go, that's why it's called Lambeau.
And those
Fields.
Things are all relative because you're competing against everybody else, whatever era you're playing in.
Right.
So you're still the best of whenever you're playing.
That's why it's called Lambeau Field.
But the best, there are a handful of good coaches, and I certainly would put your guy Reed, and I like the Harbaughs, both of them.
But don't you think, certainly, John probably not.
But
I think I could see
amount.
Jim Harbaugh being fired in 2 years, 3 years.
Oh, I think his personality.
I think he could go down the drain.
I think his personality
fast.
Would lead you to believe that it could end ugly there. But
so,
I think he's a very bright guy.
To me, part of being a great coach is the foundation, knowing you're going to be around for a while and sort of the long term.
Yeah. Well, if you're asking me if I think that's going to happen, I say no. I think he's going to be the 49ers head coach for like a decade.
I don't.
Yeah, I do. I think he's established a very, very solid program there. And I think he's a smart guy. Now, I think his emotions could get him in trouble at some point. And if he crashes and burns for the way you just said, I won't be stunned.
Well, that'll be part of it. That'll be a big part.
I won't be stunned because I think he's emotional. He's like Bill is very business.
He's also kind of an a-hole, I think.
Yes. And Jim is emotional.
He can be emotional without being an a-hole, but he's an emotional a-hole. Mm.
But I don't expect him to flame out.
I do.
I think he's
Schwartzy
a good coach.
Is a guy who I think has gone way down on the ladder.
I think he's an awful coach.
Yeah.
I don't even put him in the middle of the pack. Yeah. I think they have a lot of talent on that team, and they consistently underachieve. Yeah.
Could be your defensive coordinator.
One of the innovations that Bill has brought in, I just forgot it.
That's how good it was.
Well, the only thing I could say is that he, you know, his willingness to use different players at different spots, you know, like unconventional positioning for, you know, putting offensive guys on defense and using different guys in, you know, Mike Vrabel at tight end, stuff like that. But
well, that's not a necessity.
In terms of schemes and designs, I don't think that he does things that are different.
I don't know how many game plan coaches there have been in history. I mean, you could argue that he's a little different and that he is a true game plan.
Well, I was going to say sort of towards that is maybe there might be stuff we don't know about that we'll find out later about film study, techniques for film study and that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I think that's his ability.
But there's some of that.
I think his ability – Because his ability to watch a film, which he was cultivated by his dad at such a young age, I think is at a higher level than.
And the Ravens say everything they do scouting wise is based on the Bill Belichick scouting system.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of it, the whole scouting system. You know, I'm sure Michael Lombardi is using that same system now with the Browns and some of that. I just, you know, you can more easily, Paul Brown's an example, but even Bill Walsh, the Bill Walsh West Coast offense scouting coaching tree has a better legacy and impact on the game than what Belichick has right now.
There's no doubt, though, that his biggest innovation is, you know, drafting a Hall of Famer.
He's
in the
got
sixth
a stupid
round.
Smirk on his face.
You know, that's a huge innovation to the game.
It's true.
Yeah.
That was like the question the other day that everybody wants to compare AJ McCarron to Tom Brady. Well, so what does that mean? He's a sixth round pick.
Well, yeah, I saw some people on Twitter like you know, so are we. The scouts are saying this, but these are the same scouts that thought Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick.
So now do you take McCarron's in the first round because he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback like Tom Brady? And then does he live up to what the scouts think he is, what they thought about Brady, which was a...
He's growing on me, by the way, A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, he's going the other way.
I me too.
Yeah, I'm all set.
Yeah.
I think he's better than his predecessors.
Oh, he's definitely better than the guy with the Jets. Yeah.
God, he's light years better. I think all those guys that won a lot of games at Alabama... He's better than. He's a lot better than. He does more.
He's a middling to NFL talent.
Okay.
And I'm annoyed by his family and girlfriend on the sideline. I don't need to see him going to kiss them after every freaking game. Get over it.
The things that bother him.
Well, that kind of, yeah, I get that way, too, with certain things.
Why can't he wait the extra 5 minutes and do it in the tunnel or the locker room or out in the parking lot like everybody else does?
Right.
I don't need your girlfriend and your mother and your father on the freaking field.
This isn't Wimbledon.
But it's not his fault that the camera follows him.
It's his fault they're on the field.
Why?
Because he allowed it.
So what's wrong with that?
I wouldn't. I don't need you on the field.
So I would.
You go from the stand.
I would love to have my dad watching me on the field.
And I
you wouldn't.
When he does his 3 points, he would love to have his wife right there.
If I was a big-time college quarterback, I think there would be nothing cooler than having my parents on the sideline. I certainly wouldn't say, no, you can't do that. Andy would be offended by it.
I like teams.
What about all the other players?
How come
should they all be on the field?
Yeah, does the left guard get his mom on the field?
We should have everybody's
on the field, Fred. Everybody's on the field.
If that's allowed.
Grandma Thompson is
the reason why it's not allowed, because it would be chaos.
You know, do they watch the whole game from the sideline? Do you know?
No, I don't
know. Or do they come down to the sideline after
the
game?
It's a pain in the ass.
Because they were in the tunnel at Auburn when the game was over.
You know, in college, there's like 100 kids on the team. So you're going
to
have
200 people marching down the field.
But what I'm saying is,
do the parents watch the game from the sideline?
What?
Do the parents watch the game from the sideline?
I don't know.
Okay, so you don't know. I don't know either, but it certainly didn't appear that way when they were in the tunnel when he was walking off.
But even if you're marching them down after the game, it's still a lot of people, a lot of stress on.
Yeah.
You have a problem with it.
I don't like guys being singled out and having special treatment.
I agree. I agree.
Well, if I had found out that everybody else that wanted to do that was denied but him, then I would feel differently about it. Something tells me that's not the case.
Okay.
Something tells me the left guard didn't ask.
Right.
I'll bet you when he was a freshman, he had to carry the water.
They don't have a high profile mother and girlfriend.
He couldn't do that, I bet, when he was a freshman.
Put your bimbo on the field.
And he had to shave some upperclassman's nuts. I bet you he wasn't able
Wait,
to do
what?
That.
Wait, where did that
That's
from?
How you become part of the team. Team.
I don't know what that
team.
Happened.
I believe in team.
Wow. Paul,
you're not team if you have a mother.
Were you molested in the locker room at Everett?
You're not team. Team.
No, he told
why
he
is
said
he, why is he single out his mother?
Wasn't.
He's not part of the team.
Right.
Because he wasn't there for camp.
Right.
He didn't join the team until after camp.
Well, we didn't have camp.
That was a good
team.
Tangent.
You got to be part of the team.
Sam in Chicago, Andy on EEI the other morning really shows the strength of PFW. Suck and Holly and the rest of the Patriot radio heads really don't know the team as well as you guys.
Obviously.
I feel like the other shows just yell about the most popular headlines. The PFW crew reviews the facts and then swirls creative ideas around in a snifter glass filled with theories and heated debates. Where was Eric when we talk about that? You are all curious as to why certain things happen with the team. The other talking heads in the building just try to fart their opinion onto the airwaves. Wow. Some very illustrative writing there.
Yeah,
who is this?
I'm all for the praise.
Sam in Chicago.
I'm all for the praise of PFW and for Andy here. But shouldn't Andy and I know a little bit more than the talking heads on the radio about the team?
Enough stroking, says Sam, too. Bill's comments regarding Hightower are consistent with his approach toward public statements with players. Who was that Raiders defensive lineman from a few years? We just talked about Derek Burgess. He basically danced with all the offensive linemen and fans wanted him gone. Bill was asked about it, and he said he was one of the best players on the team. What else can Bill say? Bill doesn't give the media any crack into his real opinions, and he knows the players listen to the interviews. That's true. That's why we were talking about how do we really know how Bill feels about Dont'a Hightower, and I said you just got to look at the actions.
Yeah, I know, and he kept playing Derek Burgess. That's what worries me.
Yeah, but eventually he was gone eventually.
I mean, at some point Dont'a Hightower will be gone too, but when?
But Burgess is only here for a year.
Oh.
I mean, more than that.
Really?
Two or three.
Really?
Really.
Oh.
And to me, it was all about that year that we were complaining that Derek Burgess was doing nothing. He kept playing full playing time.
He sucked.
Now, right now...
He brother-in-lawed it with the right tackle play after play after
right
play.
Now, it's different because you don't have anywhere to turn to. I mean, you're just so banged up on defense. Hightower's got to play. But to me...
He's second on the team in tackles.
The action would be if the guy stopped playing. Burgess kept playing.
Silvio says, hey, guys, is it possible for either Mayo, Vince, or Kelly to play in the Super Bowl if we make it?
Yep.
No, it isn't possible.
I know
don't
it's not.
Say that.
Why,
you're going to confuse
people. Why do you confuse
people?
That's got to be the most common question that we get asked.
That and what that logo is on the field. But no, once you're on IR, you're done.
IR. You have one player that can be on short-term IR.
That was Shane Vereen. Anybody who was on IR cannot play playoffs or Super Bowl, unfortunately.
And if the Lions get eliminated from the postseason and they cut Calvin Johnson, yes, we can sign.
Well, that's true.
No, it isn't.
Can't happen. Can't happen because they can't cut him until a certain time, but...
Jason in Wisconsin, it's a good day.
It'd be so much better if you could do stuff like that.
It's a good day. My football team is 9-3, and I'm able. He did put the sniff in there, and I'm able to listen to my favorite football talk show live. Of course, it's due to my daughter being ill, but she's 2, and I don't see her flipping out on my wife like my son did.
That's a random sentence. We need more information on your son flipping out on your wife.
I got 2 questions. One is
just begging a little bit more information there.
One is for Mr. Draft and the other is for the group. First, Mr. Draft.
I
would assume that's Andy because
just ask him.
You don't need to assume.
Did you see
tattooed on my ass?
Did you see the issues with Dobson, Boyce, and Tompkins not being able to secure the ball in their draft tapes? I would hope that those issues weren't so obvious in the process, and if they were, it really speaks volumes to the whole Bill just does what he wants and doesn't give a damn about anything else.
Dobson did not have issues securing the ball. His issue on tape was getting some separation, which has been an issue at times here.
Who was throwing to Dobson? Was it a guy with a rifle arm, or is Brady's velocity that much where he's causing him to double clutch? Or is it a mental thing?
I wouldn't think that.
I wouldn't, but, I mean, you're going a little too deep into my...
Okay.
Brain.
All right. Because, no, you're right. Coming out of college was like he didn't drop a catch, even though
he did.
But he
had a great ability to fight for the football because he fought for the football a lot.
And I didn't see a lot of double catches.
No. His hands were good. They weren't never dropped a pass good, but they were good. Tompkins, we didn't have any tape.
I didn't see anything.
We didn't know anything about Tompkins till he was already here, basically, as a guy that bounced around and was. Who was the third one?
Boyce.
Yeah, Boyce.
Josh Boyce.
Boyce we kind of liked. I loved him. Yeah, I don't remember seeing... I don't have my notes with me right now.
His problem isn't really double clutching right now.
His problem was catching the ball in training camp.
Yeah.
He didn't catch it very well in training camp, but I still loved him because every day he'd run by everybody. I said, I want that guy.
Second, is the Mayo injury a hidden benefit for the organization as a whole? I think that if Mayo was on the field, Jamie Collins wouldn't be able to get any meaningful opportunities on defense. I mean, following Andy's thought process, Mayo just rolls out of bed and makes 100 tackles without much else. Just your thoughts.
Whoa. I backed down on that in recent years. I think the last year and a half, he was a good, productive, all-around football player. I thought he had his most plays last year. He had advanced from just being a tackle machine.
That is true. Mayo is very cordial now to Andy, so he has backed off that stance.
Thoughts regarding this chance that Collins, in a way, Hightower getting to shine or be tarnished at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. You'd rather have Gerard Mayo and try to win a Super Bowl with your best defense.
Right, but...
You might sell me on something like that for a month. Okay, we got Jamie Collins some reps, and now Mayo's back. But to lose a guy for the year and week, whatever it was, 6? Yeah, no thanks.
Okay. Joel from Atlanta. Hey, guys. Has Brady spoken about the security guard that was fired during his press conference? It was actually 2 security guards that were fired.
Yeah, I didn't hear Brady
for taking a picture after the Houston game with Brady. But no, he hasn't.
And well, I don't know I that to be
I
true.
I didn't hear his press conference. I don't know if
his
anybody
press
asked
conference
him.
Went on earlier.
Is yeah, Fred still driving? Is Fred still driving a lesbian car? That
no.
was my wife, and no, now she's driving a Volkswagen. So no
is
more
that,
Subaru.
Is there any stigma attached to that
Volkswagen?
Volkswagen. Yeah, you seem to be.
They're
the
just
expert.
Expensive to fix, right?
I don't know.
Hasn't broken.
There
anything.
Is, but I can't say it on air.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? We have taken it to the dealer out of warranty, and they're pretty fair. Colonial Volkswagen up in
wow,
North
throwing it out there.
Now that's payola plugola.
No, they've been pretty.
Oh,
good.
Fred drives a Lexus.
And how is
it's
it?
Kind of a big deal.
There is like a connotation with that. It's you're rich.
You're rich.
And how is it when I call you guys, which I call every week? It seems you guys don't know my name, like Dave in Connecticut and Olivier. I know
who's this?
That's wrong, or that dude in Vegas, or Big Al in Valdosta.
Well, who is this?
Joel in Atlanta. I
don't have any recollection of you, Joel. You obviously don't stand out.
You know, and
wow.
if I get your name wrong, it's because on my board here.
Yeah, the name just comes up on the screen. We just
no, but you have to have something that we remember. Your voice, your shtick, your something, and I can't think of what Joel in Atlanta
and Joel,
out
just
for.
So you know, being memorable or sticking out for some reason isn't necessarily
oh, no.
a positive.
Can mean you're a moron, you're grating, you sound yeah. like you're on drugs.
And I'm not going to go through the individual ones that I think fall into that category.
Jeff like Vegas.
But there are guys that call on a regular basis that are regulars that we reference all the time, not necessarily in a positive way.
Hey, Jeff like who?
You're a loser.
I'm not going to get into it.
Who?
Fred just named one.
We love Jeff and Vegas.
Name another.
I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah. Why do you make him do that?
I just want to prove he's a
and all that.
This is where Paul goes, you want my social security number too, Andy?
Yeah, why don't you throw that out there?
Let's
how about that? A couple weeks ago. He tells everybody that I'm all miserable about the Super Bowl and my address at home.
I didn't say the Super Bowl thing. That was Fred. I just gave your address.
No, you jumped on board.
I jumped on board once he brought it.
Because I'm afraid of freezing my ace off.
No, it'll be fine. Sit your ace down.
They'll warm you up. Don't worry.
Yeah, they'll warm us up. Because they always take care of the
They heat. Did have heaters in Jacksonville under the desk.
Yeah.
But it was still freaking freezing.
I'd like something else under the desk.
Wow. Playing the role of Andy in this episode will be Paul.
No, because you would actually say what you wanted and then what you wanted them to perform.
Okay, so who would that be? Who would you like under the desk?
I would leave that to you. I don't take it a step further like you do.
Well, I'm not going under the desk.
You'd like Martin Morales under the desk.
No, that was...
Because I'll leave that to you.
That was Indy.
Well, he doesn't have a seat, so he has to be somewhere.
That was Indy.
Well, that's right. When he had his suitcase and he's walking through, and I think he was showering at the airport or something. He was like that John Hanks movie.
Tom.
Let's see. Robert
is that
writes
my roommate,
in.
Fred?
What's that?
Did you talk about my roommate?
Yeah.
He was your roommate? Martin?
Si. Did he teach any Spanish?
No, he didn't get home till like 3 o'clock in the morning or something.
Really?
No.
What does he do all night?
All the Mexicans that drove up from
easy.
Fans from Mexico.
Patriots fans from Mexico.
Easy.
Con grande cabeza.
Oh, you know what I thought for sure was coming?
Okay. In your head, that's what's rattling around. Robert says
a little
prognostication before the holidays from the crew at PFW. Scenario for Super Bowl 48. One,
this Richard, is 48.
Richard Sherman / Aqib Talib out, will not play under any circumstances. Two, Seahawks lose to the New York Giants regular season, cruise to the playoffs. Three, Ridley fumbles, leads to score, but Patriots beat Chiefs in championship 28-24. Four, all of the starters in Week 13 for both teams are healthy and expected to be available. And five, weather for Super Bowl, clear winds 15 to 20 miles an hour, temperature with wind chill 20. Final score, Patriots blank, Seahawks blank. That was kind of a weird thing.
I don't get the question.
I don't understand.
So all those factors, what is the score?
Oh, can you reread them to me?
No.
So we beat the Chiefs in the AFC title game. I got that.
Yeah.
But Ridley fumbled.
Yeah. But Sherman's out. Talib's out, I guess he said.
That benefits us.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of their offense.
Yeah. Now they're down to their fourth and fifth cornerbacks.
Yeah.
That definitely benefits us.
Yeah. I think it's a 34-24 Patriots win.
What is that voice?
I don't really know.
It's
Let's see. Phil from
discount double check.
Nova Scotia, I was feeling good about giving Ridley another chance until I saw him on the sideline during the Texans game holding a ball and looking sad. I don't want a fumble-prone running back that looks sad and repentant. I want him to look mad and determined and pissed off that he's not back out there on the field. At least that would show that he's not going to have a mental hang-up. It seems like when a top athlete can get the mental part right, the physical part will follow. Toughness and realistic self-confidence can go a long way. Okay. Okay.
I agree with that.
I don't think he's overly confident.
I thought he looked sad on the sideline.
I'm sure he sees what everyone else sees. Like, his career could be petering out before him. He's living that. We're just observing it. He's living it. You'd have to be pretty close-minded and
active this week or not?
I'm going to say no.
There's no right answer.
Yeah. Well, there is. He's either going to be active or not. But
no, I know. But you know, yeah,
ultimately, there's a right answer.
you knew what I meant.
Yeah.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to
plus,
know.
Plus, no way. As you said, there's a chance that there are seven injured guys. You know, Spikes is going to be inactive.
I think
now,
he's going to be inactive. I would say he's going to be inactive again, barring that scenario where there's seven inactives that are all injured.
Right.
And then
he can't play.
Even Jake Beckett will be active.
Well, that was, you know.
Better chance to be active, Jake Beckett or Stephen Ridley?
Ridley. Beckett is never active.
I know. But he's not being benched.
I think they would cut somebody and bring in a healthy player before they'd make Beckett active. I'm only kidding.
Poor Beckett.
Poor Jake Beckett. What was he, a second-round pick?
Third.
Third-round pick?
Yeah.
Third-round pick who I thought, you know, SEC is going to come in and have an impact as a situational pass rusher. He's not going to have an impact ever on anything.
Let's see. Mike.
Harsh.
Mike in not-so-smelly Florida. First of all, I think the reason for the league stinking as much as it does is the coaching. I think in general most head coaches suck. So do you guys think once Belichick retires, he will open up and give a sincere interview?
Yes.
I wonder if he's just going to write a book.
Or something, yeah.
Like a
whatever.
Tell-all book. Yeah.
Well, it won't be tell-all. It'll be tell-some.
Tell-some?
Yeah.
Tell, I'm going to control the message?
Oh, yeah.
like all the other Patriots
well,
the books?
Well, less controlled, more enlightening.
Yeah, that's what I fear, is that you're not going to get the real
well, but you never get
stuff.
The real juicy stuff from anyone. You don't know you didn't get it because you didn't get it.
It's true.
I know Paul thinks Ridley will not play much at all this week. However, wouldn't this week be the perfect time to put him in to regain his confidence?
To do what?
At this point,
stop right there.
Okay.
Now, my question to that, to you, Fred, because obviously the emailer can't answer. How? What does he do to get his confidence back? Is it because they're playing a bad team so he can't fumble?
Well, no.
Decent defense.
He can't fumble.
He can't get his confidence back this week.
He's gonna
he can't.
Look, if he runs with the ball and gets
right?
if and
the
gets,
only way in my opinion he can get his confidence back is to not fumble right now
for
through the Super
long
Bowl.
Time.
Right through the Super Bowl. Win a title and then that cures all.
When
it's
does
forgotten.
That start?
I don't think it starts at all.
I think
when does that confidence
if it's
rebuilding
good, if it's
start?
Gonna, I personally think
I it, think it starts when he dons a new helmet for a new team.
See, I personally think it wouldn't start until next year.
Not here.
Unless there's injuries. Unless he has to be pressed back, you know, if you know all of a sudden Blunt and Bolden go down and they need him. He's got to be back out there.
Right.
You know, Bill might not like it, but I got to go back
so
to this
it'll,
guy.
So it'll start out of necessity.
Right, and it becomes one of those,
yeah. He
you know,
and Jake Beckett will take the field together and have careers.
You mean Beckett's going to be the lead ball carrier? But it becomes one of those sports cliches, like the redemption story. You know, I mean,
right.
How many? Would you be overly surprised
if
Ridley, out of injuries, out of necessity, gets back in there, runs for 100 yards in a playoff game and doesn't fumble, I wouldn't be stunned.
It's a very likely scenario.
I wouldn't be stunned
if that happens, and then the redemption story is written for 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl until the bottom falls out of it in the Super Bowl. Like, that could happen too.
Sure. At this point, the organization is wondering what they have in Ridley going forward. We need to see if he responds to sitting out a game. Granted, one game doesn't cure all, but the question for the Patriots is if Ridley will be here next year. Or even more pressing, will he be here in the mix for the playoffs? Or even more important, is my fantasy team screwed?
Yes.
I jest, of course, but inquiring minds need to know. Anyhow, I know it's a slow news week, so I'll throw you guys a bone with an over-under week. Ready? Amendola TDs for the rest of the season, 2.5.
Under.
I have to say under.
Under. I say over. Peyton Manning total TD passes for the season, 50.
Under.
Over,
Paul says.
Taking the under.
He only needs 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Nine.
Right? Well, he's got 41, right?
Yeah,
so he needs nine to get to 50.
But he needs 10 to break the record.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I'll take the under. He'll get close, but I think it's going to be the under. Did I see it? They're going to have hellacious, frigid crap this weekend?
Yeah, I hope he doesn't break the record.
Why?
Because I want...
I want Tommy to have it. Guess what? Somebody's going to break it. So Tommy's going to lose it.
Tommy worked hard for that record. Peyton Manning didn't.
Remember when those things
what
didn't
What does that
matter?
Even mean?
Whatever I wanted to
what is that?
Why would you take the bait on something that preposterous? Even I didn't take the bait on that.
But
he had to take our guy in order to help him do it.
But wouldn't it be more fun if it's those two back and forth a little bit than just, you know, some dink breaks it in 2 years? You know
yeah, what? But the thing is, if Manning breaks it, that's it.
But you know what's great? He breaks it, and then Andrew Luck breaks it, so there's another tail.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I think that is a scenario that could unfold. I think that's a record that's going to
get
broken.
Oh, by the way,
10 years.
There was a tweet out there, a certain statistical website, saying that, you know, basically challenging people to say that Andrew Luck's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. And, of course, based on stats this year.
Could you imagine what Andrew Luck would do if he were the quarterback of Seattle?
No kidding. Right. I just
give him a running game and a defense?
I just can't stand people who look at football and it's like the baseball people.
Yep.
And just do it on stats. And you can't tell
that's
me
what's
that
happening.
Long-term Andrew Luck's going to be better than
and
Russell
Wilson. And
that's
why you think Jacoby Ellsbury is a 5-tool player.
No, by watching him, my eye test, not
why,
the stats.
So why can't you see that he can't hit for power or throw?
No, I know he... He can't hit for power consistently, but I think he's an exciting player. He's a good on-base, first or second.
He hit more than 9 homers once in a season.
Yeah, he did. First or second in the order player. I like him, and no one's going to stop me from not.
Nor should they. You should like him because you like him.
Right.
Yeah. And I think
he's
it's
an exciting player.
I think it's ridiculous what's going to happen to him now, and I already heard it when I was driving in, is how he sucks. Right. But your larger point about the stats is totally valid.
Right.
You know, everybody just looks at all these numbers and defensive passer rating and this and that, and they think that's how you determine, not realizing that how you get to those things. It's
right.
Like the eight old, you know, Charlie Weiss, you know, well, geez, if it was all about running the ball 25 times in the game, we just had the first 25 plays and we'd run.
Right.
So we'd guarantee to win.
Right.
You know, it doesn't work that way.
So Rex made it attempts plus completed passes. Remember he had that stat?
Something like that, yeah.
Speaking of Rex Ryan's season.
Not in the Wilson Hart Power.
Rex Ryan's season's left coaching the Jets 1.5.
Under.
Under, yes.
He has about a .5, no, a .3.
Jets wins for the remainder of the season 1. They have Raiders, Browns, Panthers, and Dolphins left.
Raiders, Browns, Panthers, Dolphins.
Push.
I'm going to say 2. I'm going to say over.
1-3.
I think they beat the Raiders and Browns.
One last note. What position will be drafted in the first round by the Patriots, or at least what position should be drafted?
I don't know.
I know a lot of people are going to say defensive tackle, and I'm going to say nay on that.
We don't do it by that. We do it by best player available.
Okay. It's cute that he still thinks that.
It's true.
I mean, I don't know who's
need,
available.
But you need everything.
I would take a defensive tackle. I would take a cornerback. I would take a safety.
Right.
I would take a receiver. Yeah. I would take a
It also depends on what you
back.
Lose.
I would
you
know, take
Did I lose Tlaib?
Yeah,
maybe. Did he sign somewhere else?
But, I'm not going to take a cornerback just because I lost Tlaib. I'm going to take a cornerback because I lost Tlaib, and this guy is the best guy on the board, according to our...
In the first round, I'm assuming that the guys are good.
Well, yeah, but not all the time. It might be a weak draft for cornerbacks. Who knows?
Good. A fair point by Andy.
And me.
No, I just think it's cute.
Giving himself a fair point.
I think it's cute that you think that they only pick the best player available.
Running back. Maybe we can trade for Trent Richardson.
I think that would be one of the last positions they would pick.
Could be.
Quarterback.
Oh, we were talking about the dad who called in about his son flipping out.
Yeah.
He says, I wrote in earlier in the year regarding my son flipping out on my wife and ending his rant with, and that's a fact, not opinion.
I remember that.
Right.
Oh,
that's why I can listen with my daughter without any worry of outbursts.
I do remember that.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to leave you guys. But this was a very enjoyable show as I was in and out and in and out and now out again.
Where are you going?
I have to go pick up my kids.
You got a thing? Why don't you have the car service do it?
I know. Fred Fred offered to, you know, have my car service do it. Evidently, he mixed me up with him.
Yeah.
He thought the Lexus was going to go pick him up.
Well, he does have a Lexus, you know. Private schooling.
Speaking of that, emailer says...
Post-grad years.
I should probably...
The most Luke exclusive
Speaking
schools.
Of that, emailer says, I should probably not let the crafts know that my wife drives a Volkswagen if I want to pass off as Jewish.
Oh, is that like...
But you know, Audi is the same company, and Brady drives an Audi, so it's no problem with him.
I mean, is that a serious thing?
The same stature around here as Brady.
Yeah, right.
Is that a serious thing? Like, Jewish people don't drive...
Some don't. Some will not, or Mercedes, they will not drive a German car. German car.
Yeah, but it's so hard in this day and age to know who owns what and how.
And particularly Volkswagen, because that was the assembly car right. that kind of helped their economy.
Right.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I can't comment on it because I don't have that type of history, but we're a long ways
away. Well, then we shouldn't have Ferraris and Lamborghinis because, you know, Mussolini.
Right.
You know?
And I mean, in the American economy with slavery, should black people not buy, like, cotton shirts?
Right.
Or, like, I just, if you're going to have so many rules, you can't have any products. I generally assume a lot of rich people are bad and stepped on some people to get where they are.
That's
so
probably a good assumption. West Palm Beach, Sean. This is one of the best shows in a while. I'm at the gym laughing out loud and people keep looking at me weird. I should just start talking to myself and maybe they'll kick me out. Anyhow, I have a huge problem with Hightower and I've watched the game 3 times. He's slow, slow, slow. I know Fletcher isn't much better, but he brings a different energy to the game, almost a spark to the team that's much needed at times.
I do think he brings an energy and a spark and a certain whatever he is as sort of that undrafted guy, high motor, whatever you want to call it by being cliche-ridden. And Hightower does not bring that. But Hightower's the better talent. I mean, Hightower has the size, potentially. He doesn't have the speed we were sold on. There is no doubt he is not as capable in coverage
and
speed.
Is he hurt?
Well, that could be it, too. I don't know. Remember, yeah. He got hurt last year, and we thought he was kind of getting ready to do something, and then he got hurt, and
right.
It kind of plateaued.
Yeah.
I don't know. But there is no way you can't say he's not a disappointment. I am disappointed with yeah. what I've seen a year and a half into his career.
Fat Beaver writes in. well, that's his name. What's his name?
Is it a fat hairy beaver?
See, now, again, there was no need to do that.
Beaver Stadium.
There was no need to do that.
Dick Stadium.
Has this beaver showered? Is it a stinky
beaver? Stadium.
Beaver?
Beaver Stadium.
I'd like to know why Eric is always wrong at predicting season records. He picked the Patriots to go 9-7 this year. Seriously? That's off the map. Any news on Marcus Cannon? Hopefully, if he can play this week, which is probably 50-50, the offensive line won't have a problem manhandling the Browns' defensive line.
Did you think the offensive line was a problem last
No,
week?
I think, look, Will Svitek is pretty good.
Right. He was a starting caliber player in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He's a veteran, experienced. I thought he was fine last week.
To me, that's the least of my worries about this team is right tackle at
right.
this time.
I mean, it's been fine.
So, pressure's
actually been
I'm
better.
Much more concerned about Dennard than I am Cannon.
I mean, remember how many times they were sacked heading into the bye, and that was one of the talks they had been sacked. It's been better of late. One sack this week. I think it's improved right. out of the bye.
And, you know, having the different options, getting, you know, more
oh,
comfortable.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That helps too.
There's many layers to
yeah.
it.
But Will Svitek is not a concern.
And he was, I thought, competitive against J.J. Watt and Antonio Smith last week. He's not going to have a
yeah.
worse matchup this week.
I mean,
week.
Watt had one ball, but did you hear his name a lot?
No. And that's, I mean, if any matchup is going to kill Will Svitek coming off the bench, that would have been it.
By the way, in the last 3 confrontations, the Patriots scored 100-plus points on Wade Phillips' frightening defenses. So, there you go. We talked about that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
About some of these longtime coordinators that just do what they do.
Well.
And then yeah. they tried to do something different, but we spied on them and
fair.
We knew.
You made adjustments to our adjustment. That's
right.
not fair.
Andrew says, I was just wondering if you guys thought that maybe Bill or the players are overlooking the Browns game this week and instead focusing on the Ravens game, which could cost them to possibly lose or at least fall behind early.
I don't think they are. Fred is, but I do not think they are. And
yeah, I don't think they are.
Can you have 2 trap games in a row? I don't think you can.
No.
Now you're just not playing very well.
Right.
So I actually think they're going to come out and get off to a hot start. I think you're going to see them throw the ball all over the field, make some plays. I think they're going to prove that this defense from Cleveland is a little overrated and that it's, you know, based on yards, but a lot of other stuff isn't quite up to snuff. Joe Hayden can't take anybody away, right? I mean, unless you match Joe Hayden up with Gronk, which I don't think there's a shot in hell they do because I think he'd get killed physically. Joe Hayden, who's the best player, can't take somebody away from you. So I think this offense is going to come out and make some plays and put up some points early.
Yep. Let's see. Harry in Maryland about non-reviewable plays. Yesterday you mentioned the Belichick interview where he discussed non-reviewable plays. I just read the transcript and it was really enlightening. Perhaps the monkey can pull up the audio and you could go further in depth. He won me over with his argument. Belichick was talking about he thinks all plays should be reviewable. You still have a limit.
2 challenges.
You still have your 2 challenges plus, you know, so that doesn't change. So it's not like you're going to slow the game down any more than it is now. But let him challenge anything. And if it's egregious, and only if it's egregious and, you know, with indisputable evidence, then you overturn it. Otherwise, you have the same rules that apply.
But now the one problem is on the judgment calls, you're changing the person who's making a judgment. That's the one thing I don't, you know, you're taking it out of the hands of the, I'm not very good with the names, but the guy calling pass. Now the referee is looking at the video and deciding.
But anytime you look at these things in slow motion, you're changing the perspective. So that's really all you're doing.
Yeah, I know, it's a judgment call.
It is a judgment call, but like I think what Bill's talking about is holding, for example. There are judgment calls, and he's saying that if you want to take the risk as a coach and review that, the evidence has to be insurmountable. I mean, the guy has to be tackled, or you can see the shirt being pulled, and then you can't argue with that as a ref that, yes, okay, I missed it.
But isn't there something to be said for the crew last week that doesn't call anything? That, you know, they're allowing holding both ways all game. They're basically playing it kind of loose. But now you change the game.
I can change that if I'm a
coach.
Quarter.
So you wait till the fourth quarter, and now you're changing the game, even though it was called perfectly consistently both ways.
But I'm taking a risk. I'm taking a risk because in the fourth quarter, if I'm wrong, I'm going to lose a timeout that could be very valuable.
I don't love it. I don't love the judgment call thing. I don't.
Yeah.
It's a judgment call for a reason. These are human beings that are paid to do their jobs. They're professionals. They're supposedly graded and held at a high level, accountable for their actions. And I just think as long as they're calling consistently,
that's
the game.
But isn't the idea to get it right?
But what is right?
When there is indisputable evidence to call it a certain way, isn't that right?
Virtually impossible on a judgment call.
But
that's why it's called a judgment call.
Well,
in your judgment, based on everything you know as a human being,
but your judgment was made in a split second.
My judgment was made over the course of a 60-minute football game, putting that play within context other snaps.
But that's not
the
way it's supposed to do. If they're doing it that way, it's wrong.
Well, that's how they do it.
That's not how
they're
taught.
There is no doubt that's how they do it.
That's how they're told to do it.
How do some crews
call more
penalties than others?
Each play is an individual play. You're not supposed to worry about what happened last play.
But you do.
With makeup calls
and
all that stuff. I know, but that's not
the... So get computers out there.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Eric's here.
Is this what I've missed for the last hour and a half?
No, this just started.
Eric's wearing an Argyle blue, gray, and black sweater.
He has a button-down collar underneath, usually the waffle or something. It's a little different look for you.
Is that a V-neck or is this just a big opening?
No, it's a V.
Okay. Is that an Andy opening?
What does that even mean?
Like, well, for you, the opening would be so big, some might mistake it as a V-neck. You know,
Eric.
Your sweater on me would come down below my nipples. The opening.
That's how you wear all your shirts.
It would be like a low-cut dress.
We often see nipples when you're in shirts. And many of the women throughout the organization complain about the amount of hair you show on a daily basis.
I could actually step into...
True.
Not a joke.
True. We've had complaints about the hair you display on your chest.
I could actually step into one of your sweaters. That's how big the
opening
is. You
couldn't get it over your shoulders, fatty.
Anyway, Eric's
here.
Hi. Back from practice.
Practice, locker room, Bill, Brady, all those things.
So we know about Bill. We've talked about him at length.
Okay.
How was Brady in locker room and practice?
Oh, did Brady address? We had a specific question. Did he address
B-Lo?
the guys getting
fired.
Yes. Our friend from Channel 7.
They did not send the news guy down.
No. Our actual colleague friend, Rhett Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Asked the question and said, you know, how do you feel about that? And it was clearly something that bothered Brady because he gave the uncomfortable laugh, smile, and
was going to give him a job in Costa Rica.
As long as they know how to shoot.
I didn't say that. See, now you don't have to say that. This is what I'm talking about. You can leave it left unsaid.
We all knew what he was talking about, Andy. So he said, I have no comment on that. And then kind of was like, yeah, it's unfortunate, but I don't make the rules. And that was really all he said.
He's not responsible, but he is somewhat responsible because had he said no, the photo wouldn't exist.
Right.
They couldn't have gotten fired. So I'm not blaming him, but.
So in a rare case when he's trying to be a good guy.
Oh, rare case. Wow. He's rarely a good guy?
No.
Well, that's kind of how it came out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, I don't mean him specifically.
In the rare case that he's not an a-hole.
No. No, not what I meant at all. Not Brady specifically, but in the rare case because there are signs in all the stadiums that say no photograph.
Right.
I mean, no autographs, whatever.
Right.
So in the rare instance when he tries to make an exception and be a nice, I'm not saying that it's rare that he's a nice guy.
Beep,
not what I meant.
This is like a sitcom where somebody says something.
It's not what I meant. I may have said it badly, but it's not what I meant.
Speaking of watermelon.
No. He gets himself in trouble for trying to, you know, not himself, but he gets people in trouble for...
Right.
Let's be honest. They were probably people that deserved to be fired.
I don't know.
I find it hard to believe that their best employees were fired just like that.
I find that hard to believe. I could see that. I mean, that's pretty strict in the security world. Yeah, that's like one of the rules that you don't even...
Not according to those guys.
Yeah, no, and maybe they are, but in most security companies, they will tell you that is strictly forbidden.
Yeah. A lot of people tell you a lot of things, and then they don't abide by it. I live in the real world, not your fantasy
regardless,
land.
I'm just... Okay, he's been very argumentative today.
Well, it's just him. There's no Paul, right? It's just
I'm trying to just pick up the slack for Paul. Yeah.
Anyway, so...
He kind of gave a comment after saying he wouldn't comment, but...
Would you just send those guys money?
Well, how much?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
Like, he has endless money. Tom Brady has virtually endless money. They make, you know, $80 million together per year. Him sending them $50,000 is like me or you sending them $10.
It's nothing.
So, would you just send him, like... He guy probably made $50,000 a year. I'm just going to say...
Well,
give him
if I did it, I would not let anyone ever find out about it.
Why?
That's bad precedent.
I also think it would be impossible that... People wouldn't find out about
it. That's
why. I'll give you an example. Did you hear what happened with Peyton Manning?
No.
The wedding thing?
Somebody sent him a wedding invitation, and obviously he's not going to go.
Someone that
fan,
he doesn't know?
Just a random fan, but he signed the RSVP saying, I'm sorry, I can't go.
Uh-huh.
Well, now everybody's going to send him wedding invitations to get his signature. And other players, too. You know? So that's the problem. When these things get out, people take advantage of it.
Well, that doesn't mean Peyton's going to sign every wedding invitation.
No, but now if you don't, well, you sign... You know what I mean?
No, I don't. What does it
matter? It's a bad precedent.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Well, I kind of see your point, Fred, but if I were Manning and I started getting 100 of those a day, there's no way I'd be signing. Yeah, you ignore them.
Oh, my God. I saw Gil.
I thought the same thing.
Oh,
you saw what?
He's in a commercial for Life Care Centers of America, and they put
Gil Santos?
Yeah, and they just one of those regular photos, sort of a silhouette with Gil Santos, and I thought it was going to say, 1936.
Right.
I thought the exact same
thing. Oh, boy.
Can you imagine him watching that? I don't know.
Anyway, so what else did Brady talk about?
Mostly about the Browns and...
How great they are.
Not how great they are, but just... Good. I mean, nothing stood out. I mean, that was the most...
Anything from last game people asked him questions about, you know?
Most of the conversation was about second... You know, now it's flipped. In the beginning, it was you were messing up in the third quarter. Now it's kind of the script has been flipped. You're starting off slow and you're doing great in the second half. And there's no answer. I mean... I don't blame him for not having an answer because they're really. That's one of those things where you either get in a funk and you don't concentrate early, and it takes a while for you to warm up, or you start out like clicking and then you just kind of lose it.
Or it's just totally law of averages that you're going to stink in the third and
sometimes
it just happens. You know, it's
they were in bunches,
early. Right? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. There's really nothing. That's not like a game plan where you can say, okay, we'll do this differently to start off strong. Well,
it's like
you're
Brady
either executing
says,
or you're not. You're either
believe it or not,
or not,
Andy. We always try to start fast.
Yeah, I mean it's true.
So what do you fix when you don't though? That I asked him on the radio. He didn't really have an answer the other day. But I believe that they don't ever really plan. You know, we're gonna start slow.
Right.
We want to punt for three or four drives. You know, you try. You think you're gonna score every drive.
You don't rope a dope in football.
Right. No, it'd be stupid. It would just be dope.
Yeah. Right. So there was. I mean, that's kind of the theme of his. Presser.
What do you got for the practice report?
Practice report. Who man back out there?
Okay.
Which was good.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Because
it looked like that was pretty bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you kind of knew when they didn't put him on IR.
Let's be fair. Tommy Kelly looked bad. He came back in practice, and we thought, I'm coming back. And then
you never know. You just don't know.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
But you just don't know.
He was running through the bag drills with the ball security bag drills. And the only thing he couldn't do was when they hopped through the bag, they were told to, first they ran through just on 2 feet, and then they were hopping through the bags. He couldn't hop.
Well, that's not good.
And then they were trying to do.
You might have to hop on a football field.
Then they were making them do, you line up just outside the bag, and then you spin to avoid the hit and run through the bag and laterally. He couldn't do that, so he was just kind of running straight forward.
Weeks away.
Oh, yeah. He's not, anywhere near close to. Although. Alfonso Dennard a couple of weeks ago looked like he was running at a quarter speed, and then the next thing we know he's playing.
And then the next thing we know he wasn't playing.
Speaking of.
Yeah, so it's a lot of weirdness. He was out there, though, Dennard. Only ones who weren't Cannon, Dobson.
Dobson?
Who missed the game the other day and all last week.
Yeah, and been hurt for over a week.
I know.
Brandon
well, you said it, like,
Spikes.
Yeah, that knee is... they might be pulling the plug.
Yeah, there's been a... He's been another one who's tried and looked bad going out there and still been able to do it, but...
Maybe they will manage him this week. You know, Willis McGahee's dead. 2.8 yards a carry. Maybe they say, okay, this is a week we can get by, give right. Spikes some time.
Right.
Plus, I think...
Needham versus Baltimore. I don't know.
Fletcher and Collins have been playing more of an active role lately. Maybe the coaches feel like they can get by with
Let's give them a game.
Yeah. If
Let's
they have
give
to put someone in the middle, they maybe they put Hightower over there.
Yep.
So... but everybody else was at practice. Dobson, that worries me a little bit because it, there was no obvious, I mean, I know the last play that he was in on, and he clearly must have gotten hurt on that play, but it wasn't like there was anything, like a guy falling on him or I couldn't see where,
a muscle
how
tweak.
He got it hurt.
It's probably a muscle tweak.
But it's in his foot, so it's not a muscle.
Oh.
And, plantar and fasciitis.
Could Liz be an
Could
Frank.
Be a sprain.
Could
but it could
anything.
Be a, you know, a really
We're
bad sprain, but he wasn't anywhere to be seen.
When they were warming up, did it look like Ridley might get a start this week?
Well, no, it's funny that you say that because in my report that I wrote up, when they were doing the bag drill with the ball security, he was first in line. He was first,
and
he was heading
don't
up.
Don't laugh at that. That's an indicator.
That is an indicator.
Of what, though? That I'm the first running back. When the quarterbacks run, Brady's first. When the linebackers ran, Mayo was first.
There usually is a hierarchy.
I'm telling
to
you,
those
there
things.
Is.
There usually is.
Yeah, there is.
Wasn't he first last week?
I don't know.
He was.
Okay.
So he was first last week until they said, you're not playing today.
Either
Even
way.
Though you're the first running back,
but it's
you're not,
playing.
But it's
not like they moved him to third
right,
or fourth.
Still considered.
He just stayed
back. He just considers it, and the players consider
well,
it.
Well, maybe.
We don't know if that's a
maybe,
coaching hierarchy
is,
or
that hasn't changed.
Fraternal hierarchy.
I don't think that should be overlooked.
I do.
Good Eric.
He was first
Good
last
Eric.
Week in DNPCD.
And they were making them do, it Tiki Barber style, holding the ball, which to me has never seemed like a natural way to hold a football and run at the same
right.
time.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you want to hold it like that, fine. But to hold it like that and run, just
well, you lose a pump. You become
you
a one pump.
It's always on his mind, Fred.
Yesterday he had a headache. I guess it cleared up today.
But no, it looks odd to see a guy running with the football that way. I know maybe it helps them hold on to it.
But he needs to. Because his problem is when he does the chicken wing and the ball, the arm comes up.
But you know who held the ball great and didn't fumble very much? Emmitt Smith. And he held it naturally. Like he held it like down here close to his, you know, between his chest and his waist.
Yeah, yeah.
In front of him.
Yeah.
So that if you try to punch underneath, you're getting the forearm. If you try to punch from above, you're pushing the ball down further into the arm.
But it was natural for him, I'm assuming. Right?
And it looks natural. That looks like when you get a handoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's.
You just keep it that way.
But I have this little theory.
The thing holding up here just doesn't look right.
I think they should measure guys' arms from the elbow to the wrist and see how long they're.
Yeah.
Because I think that's relative. I think Wes Welker was a guy who couldn't physically tuck a football in his elbow and cover the points with his fingers. Mm. I think that's why we saw so often him running with it in weird ways with it like a loaf of bread.
Right.
And my other idea, Eric, you didn't miss this gem yesterday, is I think they need for Ridley, they need to have a device where he wears like sleeves on his elbows and then there's a rubber band in front and back that keeps his arms from going out too far, so he can still pump, but he can't pull his arm
so he
away
can pump
from his body.
Front to back, but it, not out.
He can't go out because you know he spins and does whatever.
He does.
And that elbow comes up
when
well,
he spins.
Invent
the,
it.
Yeah.
You might have a little thing.
Should I call? Who should I call? Jim Whalen or the training staff?
Probably
the equipment,
equipment guy. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to build a prototype, for
right?
So
yeah.
You can show
you have
it
to test it out.
Well, they. Probably would have more of the equipment that I would need to build a prototype. That's why I think
maybe
the training,
not. I don't
they
know.
Got the sleeves, they got the rubber bands. They were just getting the length down and the
yeah.
the strength
well,
of the band.
Draw it up on paper so you can know exactly what.
Do one of those website things on TVs where you can have your invention like
Startup.com or right. Kickstarter.
Or one of the 200,000 people listening should just do it. And I'll take credit when I see it on TV.
I want to know. I was telling Fred on the plane when we were coming home, we should try to talk to Kevin Falk and try to get just a story from him on what did you do when you had this problem? Well, how did you fix it?
Why don't you do that?
I mean, I think that would be a good story.
He's very, I think he's a little shy, though, because he's too close to this situation.
Falk?
I think, yeah, every other player, he might be more, he's so close to Ridley, LSU, they've worked, you know, the whole thing. And I think he's really trying to be careful with how he deals with the situation as the mentor or the example of a guy who could fix it and all that. I think he's being careful. Maybe. But yeah, you're right. Maybe. I mean, but I think I'm not saying no.
Because I think that's a tremendous story just in and of itself, that here was a guy who had the same problem. And almost overnight, he fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was like after year three or four or whenever, about the same time that, like, the first few years, I would always hold my breath when he would return
a punt.
Well,
he started wearing
anything.
That big rubber thing with the round.
And a lot of people think that was part of it.
Could be.
Those rubberized elbow pads, and they had sort of the crisscross pattern on them.
Right.
Now, I know when I played, I didn't like anything. I thought it was more arm versus ball was a better grip or
right.
feel. Yeah, I don't know if Ridley needs to go
you
in that
You know, the other thing, and I know this is kind of.
Stick 'em.
You know, if you ever have a chance to talk to Belichick again in that same setting.
December 30th, I'll be filling in.
It's a weird question, but I think that he would probably use it as an opportunity to expound on other things. You get all these different themed months now. And when they have that, they put these different decals on the ball. So once it's the ribbons, Super Bowl has the big Super Bowl thing. Do you really need to get a hold of those various footballs and just see what effect it might? Probably doesn't, but. Do you really need to go to that detail and say, hey, there's that decal here. What is that going to do?
You mean the imprint on the football?
The imprint on the football.
And how that's different than...
It might be a little slicker than the
than
grain.
The pimples on the rest
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. You know, and
it's
every...
dimples.
And it seems like every month they're
it's
using...
Dimples, right? Did I say pimples?
Yeah. It seems like every month they're using a different football.
Well, they do have a few different...
you know,
think
like
that
I know in baseball,
minimal.
If there was anything different about a baseball from game to game...
Oh, from pitch to pitch.
Right.
They throw it away.
Right.
Which is somewhat ridiculous. But
it is ridiculous.
But in football, it seems to be no problem to just put a whole new thing on the football and play with it.
But it's a small surface area.
Sometimes it's small. In the Super Bowl, it's pretty large.
Yeah, it is. The Super Bowl imprint is pretty big.
Yeah.
But it's not – there's always an imprint there. They just alter it.
No.
But I think the Super Bowl one, the logo
– I don't think so.
Although in the past, now the logo is the same every year.
Right.
But in the past, they would have like they would customize it to the city, and it would be a it could be really huge or
it's
small.
It's still only
now. It's still.
But now they're putting the ribbons on it for the breast cancer week, and then it's
yeah. But that is like 1/10 of one piece of the one quarter. I mean, it's 1/40 of the football.
Again, it might be a real silly question.
It is.
I'd like to know what he
I'm
says.
I'm not asking it.
I'd like to know what he says
that one's
about
too silly.
That. You know, because you know whether it's the field or the
I'm going to ask him if they measure guys' forearm length.
Okay. All right.
That's less silly.
But I've
he's not
about,
saying it's not silly.
You know,
he's just saying
less
it's less silly.
You know
it's
and what? What
there.
Made me think about it was the Super Bowl because they have that big logo on it, and it just makes the ball a different ball than
it weights it differently for kickers.
I don't know about weighting, but maybe
think of
spin
that. Might spin like if that's like doctoring that side of the football changes the weight, the balance, and everything.
Yeah, and I mean if you're holding it and that the emblem has to be, you know, happens to be on your forearm, is that
here's what I'll go with.
More?
If you're thinking about that, you have a fumbling problem.
Maybe.
If that bothers you, if you're thinking about that, you have a problem.
You know? But what about
I don't think Emmitt Smith ever thought once about that.
What about long snapping? What about, you know, receivers? Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's nothing.
You know, with the gloves today, it's probably less of an issue. I mean,
you should never drop a pass with the gloves today. Ever.
<It's> I know, those gloves.
That's why there's no excuse for, like, Andre Johnson.
Especially
drop.
Gronk's hamburger helper
ridiculous.
Gloves that he wears. Those things
should
are
never drop a pass.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was, by the way, was one of the best catches I think I've ever seen.
Wow.
For a guy like that. A guy that
big,
that strong,
for
running
a big
ball,
man.
To bend over like that and catch
the
ball.
Do you remember the one he
the
made
ground.
In the end zone a couple years ago where he dove and caught it, tipped it, and
caught
Fred, it?
Yeah, but Fred, the bending
that was
the, down.
That was his best catch, I think.
For a guy that big,
but that big
to adjust his body, bend over. And oh, by the way, a guy who has a bad fused
back
and a bad hamstring, if you believe the injury report, both areas are put pressure on when you bend over to catch that pass. I mean, it's fundamental. They always tell it, you know, basketball, don't put the ball down where the big guy can't get it.
Yeah.
Get it to him. And you put that at his ankles, and he made a phenomenal play. Phenomenal.
Oh, he did.
Saved Brady.
I also thought
I think it changed the game.
It might have.
Yeah.
That hole could have been a lot bigger, and you might have had something you couldn't dig out of. Right?
And the craziest part of that whole play is that wasn't a, it wasn't a case where Brady had guys in his face and he was throwing off his back foot. He had all day to throw. He had nobody in front of him. He had a clear path, and he still underthrew him.
Well, because it was like a 5-second play where Gronk actually broke his route off and just turned upfield.
Right.
Yep. That's because Brady couldn't throw to his spot. Now he's going to try to actually hit the guy, and he's used to throwing to a spot where he can yell at them because they're
all
at the spot.
John Rooks here.
In the rare case that he's nice
playbook.
To someone.
Hey, John.
Fred, how we doing?
Good. We've had a very lively show here.
What did I miss?
I don't know. We're just talking about all kinds of different things.
Some fights broke out over the most weird things.
Just randomly, we started fighting about stupid stuff.
Paul wasn't on the show, though.
Yeah.
So it was just Andy and Fred.
I think he was like for living most of it.
Are you okay with the $100,000 fine to Tomlin?
You know, I thought it might actually be a little bit more than that, or I thought he might have to pay with a suspension for a game, to be honest with you. But you know, all things being equal, you know, I don't know that he really intended to do anything. I mean, it's really kind of tough to tell even looking at the videotape. So
Andy thinks he, no doubt it was
I didn't like the smirk and smile afterwards. And I think, even the looking over the shoulder, I think he could have got out of the way quicker even if he, I'm not saying when the play started, he said, I'm going to get in the way. But I think at some point he realized where he was, what was
coming right at him.
He lingered longer than he needed to.
I would tend to agree with that, actually. So that's why I was a little surprised that he got offered just a money fine. I thought maybe he'd have to pay with the game, but.
And they're still talking, I guess, about a pick, and I don't really understand.
I think that's silly. I don't get that.
I don't either.
And
why
I also don't get that. It was his problem, not the team, not the organization. Right. It was his
problem. Well, my problem with that is either you do it or you don't. There's no waiting. If you're going to take a draft pick,
take it now.
It shouldn't be dependent on anything.
Or they could have gone to the Steelers and said, here's, you either lose a draft pick or you're going to get suspended or something. They give him a choice to make. I don't know, but I kind of agree. I think that's kind of stupid.
Weird. I don't get it.
Weird, stupid, whatever you want to term.
All right. Well, John's up with the playbook and then a repeat of this show. You won't want to miss it. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, my honey. I've changed my mind. This world is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kisses the baby.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.